welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 866-901-ADAM. Well, look who's honored us with an appearance. It's Mr. Damashek. To what do we owe this pleasure, Mr. Damashek? He's entering the studio. His Highness has saw fit to join us in studio. That's wonderful. Wow.
I thought you kids could use the help.
Claudia, are you sitting down? This is exciting.
It is. It is.
You know what I realized as I was...
He smells good, too.
Well done, my dear.
I was thinking about Damashek. I may have brought this up 18 hours ago when you weren't here. We came back from whatever. I realized there's a couple things I realized in life. One is whatever you sort of chewed somebody's out for, it's much more likely to happen a second time than it would if they didn't do it the first time and you didn't say anything. At least that's the way I feel in my life. So meaning, if Oswaldo's working at my house and Oswaldo has his boots covered in mud and he trounces through my kitchen leaving boot prints all over it, and I pull him aside and I go, "Hey, what the F? Come on, man. I spent a long time restoring that floor. Let's never let this happen again." It will happen faster than if that episode never happened. That's the one of the things I learned in my life, which is has to be construed as nothing less than an FU factor to me, I've realized. So if I didn't bring it up and I didn't say anything, this wouldn't have happened for a couple of years. But because I pulled you aside and said something, it'll happen sometime in the next 12 hours.
True.
That's what I've learned. The other thing I've learned is I was thinking, well, Dave's doing something. But I realize everybody does that. Like, I when you say to somebody, not starting the show, we got a lot of show here, by the way. I'm not just filibustering here with Dave. But I also realize that half the time, like when you say to somebody, "Hey, man, listen, you need to be in the studio when the show starts," the answer comes back, "I was in Studio C working on something." I understand you weren't abducted by terrorists. You know what I mean? Like, everyone always tells you why. Like, you go, "Hey, man, you're tracking mud through my kitchen." "Yeah, I was working out in the yard." Right. I understand you didn't come from a NASA clean room and weren't lowered in via cable from a chopper. I understand you were somewhere or you were doing something.
Well, what were you doing, Dave?
Yeah, what was going on, Dave, that was so important?
I don't want to reveal any of the behind-the-scenes magic that makes
That's
this...
That's true.
I mean, yes, Adam Carolla is the motor that makes this thing go.
You were doing Mr. Schmeldrick, huh?
Sheldrake.
Oh, Sheldrake. That's right. Well, if Frank from Frosty Hunting Frank was listening to the first 8 seconds of the show, I'm sure he was elated.
Who are they?
Dave not there? Oh, look at you.
I'm just asking.
Oh, that's a good dig.
No,
keep going.
Yeah. Stick with that.
No, really.
Give it to
God.
Go, baby.
I swear to God.
Go, girl. Yeah, no more.
Are
no
they
more.
Interns?
Oh!
Bizam.
Yeah. All right.
I like this
are
one.
You going to tell me who they are?
She's a, they come on after our program.
Oh.
In one market.
Okay.
Or maybe two.
Oh, no, please. Please. They did have a few markets. They're doing just fine.
Should I tune into them? Or am I missing anything?
Yes and no. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, go ahead, Braska.
Speaking of markets, not to toot our own horn, but we got another market, Palm Springs. Hello to Palm Springs.
Hello, Palm Springs.
11th Market.
Jimmy sort of got started in Palm Springs. Jimmy Kimmel, that is, longtime radio buddy Jimmy Kimmel. Also did a little work with him on The Man Show. Him and Carson Daly in Palm Springs.
Wasn't he in Phoenix once?
Was in Phoenix once. Was in Seattle once. And I'm trying to think, Tampa, I think he was fired. He was fired from every job he had.
It was one of Kimmel's big three fines.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this Carson Daly, unless I'm mistaken, was an intern. He's a 19-year-old kid playing golf.
I think like maybe like
even
16
younger.
Or 17
fines
or something.
Him, Kimmel he brings
met,
him along.
Kimmel met Carson Daly in Hawaii when Carson was like 13.
Oh, is that right?
Kimmel must have been like 19 and on one of his infamous sex tours. He normally goes to the Philippines, but he only made it as far as Hawaii.
And then, of course, we know the story of you. It would be fine for you to be nice if you recap that story. And then, of course, the third member of this, Andy Milonakis, will join us today.
Yeah, Jimmy you know, and the thing, as I think about it, like once in a while I think, well, Jimmy's such a talent, he's such a good guy, and such a hard worker, and he's so funny. And whenever I trace his radio career, I think, well, he started off, I guess, and I may screw this up, forgive me if you're listening, Jimmy, but he started off in like Phoenix and he got canned. Then he went over to like Tampa and he got canned. Then he went to Seattle and he got canned. All from on-air radio gigs. Then he went over to Palm Springs and he got S-canned. By the way, he gives us notes on the shows every day. Perhaps we shouldn't take notes from a guy who's been canned from five radio jobs and never had a successful one. It's interesting. I'm just bringing it up. It's like a guy who went to the major leagues, got up to the plate five times, K'd five times. Now he has an instructional video he's trying to push. It's like, what?
The most important thing is, every time he got canned, did he move up?
He sort
no,
of.
No, I have no
like
idea what ever even happened to the guy.
He moved sort of up and over, and but then eventually got canned again. But here's my point. You know, and I think about it, and I think, Man, these program directors are horrible. Of course they are. Jimmy and I worked together once on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles and were pulled into the program director's office or the general manager's office on more than one occasion and forbidden for working together on the air. So, I mean, if you think about it, I don't want to sound cocky, but we were one of the more successful comedy collaborations over the last 5 or 10 years. We, you know, worked on The Man Show and then Crank Anchors and got together on shows like The Milanakis Show and things like that. So it's like you taking Martin and Lewis. I'm not comparing us to Martin Lewis, but it's like if Martin and Lewis were called into the program director's office in 1951 and said, you two should never be in the same room together. Before they even began their career. That's essentially what was told to Jimmy and I. You guys cannot be on the radio at the same time. Now, part of it was just an FCC thing. We tend to got a little out of control. But think about the visionaries that these program directors are. I was pulled aside by a program director once and told I was an on-air talent, but Jimmy was not an on-air guy. He was a behind-the-scenes guy. He was not meant to be behind the microphone and stuff. I promptly agreed, but as it turns out, he was wrong. We were both wrong. Who knew? Point is this. Now, here's an interesting point. So sometimes I think back on this stuff and I think, wow, Jimmy was canned from Tampa and Arizona and Palm Springs, our new market, where he was out with Carson Daly and wherever else, Seattle and all this kind of stuff. And I think, boy, were these guys idiots. But now I think about it, maybe Jimmy wasn't as good as he is now. Maybe Jimmy wasn't Jimmy. You know, Jimmy was 20. Jimmy was 19. Jimmy was 22. I mean, where were you at when you were 21? How good an employee were
Slinging
you?
Slinging drinks, right.
How funny were you? How good was your work ethic? How talented were you? How much did you know? How developed mm-hmm. were you? I mean, you know, it's funny. You just think of yourself as yourself. Well, Jimmy's just Jimmy. Dave's just Dave. Claudia's just Claudia. But you weren't the same at 17 as you were at 27 and not the same at 35.
Well, 35, I'm still waiting for that talent and sense of humor thing to kick in.
God knows we all are. Matter of fact, we'd like some money back there.
I feel like I was more mature at 17.
Really?
I feel like I was more mature at 17.
April?
Hi.
You want to heap some praise on Claudia?
Claudia, I love you.
Aw, thank you.
You have a strength in your voice. And
I'm like, really
you don't
a man.
Let the guys, you, no, I'm you don't let the guys kind of push you around.
Oh, that's very nice.
I love that.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
They slap me around here and there, but I like it.
Good. I'm glad. I wish you would stay.
Thank you. Thank you, April.
Adam, can you just say, call me baby once? I love it when you say that.
What? Call?
You
what?
Know when you say, okay, baby.
Hey, baby doll.
I love that.
All right.
Okay. Have a good day, you
thank
guys.
You.
Bye,
that's
bro.
What I talked to my agent that way on the cell phone, and I realized people think I'm talking to a chick, so I had to stop doing it. Because my agent's James Baby Doll Dixon. Where were we? Yes, you want to take a break? Well, I got a bunch of stuff. I want to set up a few things. First off, we have more tapes released from Zacharias Massaui. So we have that to look forward to. Very scatological. Also, the aforementioned Andy Milanakis will be on the program. we are going to do a little April Fool's gag. Monique is in studio. And you know the thing I like about Monique? I probably haven't seen her for a few years, but she brings it. She doesn't slide in here like Jim Gaffigan and just melt behind the microphone. She stands up. She's got she's got raw energy. She's hard to contain. Dave's got his Hottest Girls of Hollywood list. I'll be excited to argue with him about that.
Well, listen.
It's based on the FHM list.
You know, what kind of narcissistic magazine decides to share with the world who they think is hot? Who gives a crap what they think?
That's right.
Now, I'll give mine.
Yeah, when you got Dave. Right.
That people are waiting for.
Yeah, when the likes of Josie Moran, Heather Graham, and Petra Nemkova and Elizabeth Hurley are all in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Wow.
And
they're bringing up the rear.
Yeah, then you got your Paris Hiltons and your Eva Longorias and your Lindsay Lohans up in the teens. I just say the world has been turned on its ear.
Jessica Simpson, as we've discussed, I don't want to get into an argument with you, but if any of the Simpson girls are going to be on there, it's going to be Ashley over Jessica in my
book. Well, now we got trouble.
You think?
Now we got trouble.
Yes, I do.
All right, we will take ourselves a break. There's a call. Remembers Claudia from television.
Oh.
Jim?
Adam!
I'm running out of steam with it. You remember?
We're 10 minutes into the show.
Well, I was initially so I was in love with the idea of that idea. I decided to replace the kids' pool game Marco Polo with Adam Carolla, deciding that this guy had a nice 600-year run.
Ingenious idea.
Yeah,
sure.
Unclear whether they played it in kids' pools 500 years ago, but ever since I was born and for all time, they've been playing Marco Polo. What about Adam Carolla?
Mm-hmm.
A more topical name.
Sure.
More kids arguably know the Ace Man's name than Marco Polo. And let me say this about Marco Polo. I did a little research on the guy before I launched his campaign. Unclear whether he ever did what he said he did. Open the spice trade up in Asia? But maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Back then, a lot of hearsay and stuff. People just say, take my word for it. He'd take a boat. He might go out, leave the harbor, park it for a few weeks, have a few beers, and come back in and say, I just sailed to Asia Minor. What do you think? What do you mean? Where do you think I got this hat?
Yeah, so this jerk's had a 500-year run. Enough's enough already.
Enough's enough.
How many kids do you think he had traveling?
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point. It's one of those sex tours that Kimmel was on.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't a sex story, may as well have claimed. And while I was in Asia, I bedded hundreds and hundreds of beauties.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And when I was reading about him, it also mentioned when he was on his deathbed, a clergy member came to him and begged him to recant all his stories. And I thought, wow, that's a hardliner there. The guy's dying, and you're basically saying, "Yeah, good, tell us you were lying the whole time, and then you may die, my child."
I like the idea of
thanks.
You.
Thanks, Pops.
I like the idea of Adam Carolla going to the library to research Marco Polo.
Yeah.
There's the Marco Polo section. And
yeah.
You
my assistant calling the internet.
I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend, and when I'm in the pool, I'm going to start that.
Please.
Adam.
Carolla, you could do it, too. I don't think I could get away with it. Jim?
What's up, Ace?
Yeah, you remember Claudia?
Oh, heck yeah. She was in Phoenix a couple years ago.
Did we date?
I wish.
She's good looking, isn't she?
You're the best looking Canuck in America.
Thanks, Jim. That's very sweet.
And your personality was genuine when you were on the TV. You know, after some people that are on TV always faked it, but man, she's a gem.
Yeah, she was genuine
Thank you, Jim.
I don't know what happened.
I had a great time in Phoenix.
And it's because of her that I'm listening to your show, Adam. I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
But anyway.
What happens when she leaves?
I'll still listen.
Thank you. That's what I want. Bring them in and drop them off. Then you guys all split. All right. Like firewood. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye. All right.
What were you doing on TV?
I was working for Channel 3 out there.
Oh, really? Hmm. How's
Arizona's
that go?
We're doing family.
We're doing like, was it mornings? Was it afternoons?
No, not mornings. I can't believe I'm here.
Would blow. Nighttime?
Yeah, 10 o'clock news.
Were you doing anchor stuff? Or were we doing weather or sports?
Entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I had some Claudiaisms mixed in there.
So you were out in the field sort of interviewing all the visiting celebrities and such?
You know what, guys? This is what it was. I came from Toronto. I kind of went to Phoenix kicking and screaming because I thought Phoenix.
Sure.
I went there. It was an offer I couldn't refuse. And I basically had an amazing time for 3 years, was out 5, 6, 7 nights a week, And I just happened to, it came to a point where I was scheduling my live shots where my friends were going to be that night.
Right. So you go to a club. So your friends were going to a club.
Yeah, basically, or a concert.
Or a concert.
Or and a new restaurant
like,
opening.
Claudia, can you come with us? And you're like, well, I got to work. And then you're like, wait a minute. I'll just bring the camera crew over to that club.
Right.
I'll do our live. Hey, we're over here. Dimples. Yeah.
Like Marco Polo, she would justify it after the fact. You just missed Nicole Richie.
Yeah.
She was just in this bar.
And I would call my booker, Bobby Joe, who was amazing, and I would say, Bobby Joe, I need a favor. You got to book this in Scottsdale at so-and-so. All right, Claudia. So
and that's where you'd end up. And did you, were there a lot of celebrities blowing through Phoenix?
A lot, yeah. Practically every concert stops there, comedians.
Ah, so you just go to them?
Yeah.
All right.
Who was the most famous one you talked to?
Oh, God. NSYNC at the time, they were huge. Met Larry the Cable Guy there, and we became friends since then. He was a great guy.
That was a pretty big drop-off from NSYNC to
Larry the Cable Guy.
Depending on what year it was, yeah.
I mean, you, Stevie Nicks, you name it.
Wow, the gypsy woman.
Yes.
Which Stevie Nicks? Thin, hot one, or older, fat, gypsy one?
Thin, hot one.
Wow, nice. All right, shall we... I got to put her on my list of people to drive cross country with, by the way. I forgot, because that could be annoying. Her, Felicia Rashad. That'd be a tough ride, huh?
No winners there.
Yeah, I know. All right, we will take ourselves a break, and we'll be right back with some updates from Big Tad's Biggest Loser interview, and also more from Zacharias Massaui after this.
An elephant and a rhino have in common, do you say? They both weigh less than this awful mess, the man they call Big Fat Tad. Yeah, he's fat, fat, Big Fat Tad, 90% lard, yeah, it's really sad. Fatter than old Stock Jones, he'll probably spend his life alone.
Aww.
'Cause he's fat.
Untrue.
Fat. Big fat.
He's not going to be alone. Well, that's true. He doesn't spend his life alone. He lives at home with 9 people.
Yeah, so I'll never be alone.
Wow. Okay, here's the thing, Big Tad.
Yes, sir.
Big Tad, who was awake this morning, thank you.
Yeah.
Went out and tried to get on The Biggest Loser. We had the producers and the casting people and the trainer in here. We're trying to get you on that TV show.
Yes.
You met with them. It seemed to go pretty well. You made a videotape.
Yes, I did.
And yesterday or the day before you went in and met with them for a second time?
Day before yesterday, I went in for a second interview. It was a videotaped interview that they will send to NBC executives, and I should learn either Monday or Tuesday of next week that if I'm on or not.
You know, it's interesting to me, and I don't ever understand why the television community does not take advantage of this. It would seem like an easy windfall for them. Put you on and let us talk about it. You know, they have those Fakakta commercials now where they have the fake morning crew, the obnoxious chick. Actually, they're not as obnoxious as the actual morning show that comes on after them. But there's the bubbly chick and the two stupid guys. They're like, hey, did you see Survivor last night? Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Scrubs. And then they've gotten so brazen that they're starting to work in stuff like a new show, Teacher's Lounge. Yeah, doesn't that star the guy from Buried Treasure or American Treasure? Yeah, that's right. He was a Golden Globe nominee back in 89. Like, okay, please stop reading the guy's IMDb. And then they have to pretend like they're screwing around. Anyway, the point is if anyone's heard these commercials, or maybe you don't even know they're commercials, maybe you think it's just an extension of the television show or the radio show you're listening to. Point is why spend good money on those spots when you could put Big Tad on, or whoever the morning show lackey du jour is, and the people would just talk about them for an hour a day.
I think it's part of the making it legit, I think, you know, so I don't look like I'm getting favoritism.
Like a ringer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear what your grandmother thinks about your chances.
Hi, I'm the grandma. I'm the oldest of the bunch, and they better all straighten up.
What should they pick me, Grandma?
Oh, yes, definitely. Great loser.
Wait.
That's my grandma.
Are you calling me
I know
me
the way
loser?
She meant it.
Well, you need to be there.
Okay,
biggest
but you,
loser.
There you go. I'm the biggest loser. I'm not a loser.
No. Never a loser. Just the biggest loser.
All right, great.
Zip it now. Lose weight.
Love it.
Yeah. Look, take a draw off that insure and hit the left seat, old lady. I'll do the thinking. So, Big Tad, you went yesterday. How'd it go?
It went good. They asked me a bunch of questions about my life and what I've done on the radio and what do I think of people who make fun of me. And I told them, you know, part of my job is to be made fun of on the air. But when it goes off the air, it's when I get kind of hurt and stuff. So, you know, when I start making my list, Dave Damashek, they better watch out.
Well, when did now, I'm scared to know that you have a list.
I'm kidding. I don't have a list.
But who does it to you off the air? Who makes funny off the air?
Well, you know, back in my K-Rock days, you know, I had certain DJs that were really... Really?
Cruel.
Yeah, cruel.
Really?
Yeah, and...
Who was cruel to you over at K-Rock?
Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
Jimmy was good?
No, Jimmy was good. You were good.
I was good. No, you're not just saying that.
No, I'm not just saying that. You've actually been the nice one out of everybody at K-Rock.
It's more that I didn't care.
Son of a...
Yeah.
No, Kevin and Bean were...
Yeah, they're rough.
Were the worst.
Tough guys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney Bingenheimer was,
he's pretty cruel.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just told them about my life off the air and just basic why do I want to lose the weight? And, you know, I think they were looking for, am I doing it just for the money? No, I'm actually doing it to be healthy.
And what would a target weight be for you? Because the thing about it is you're 5'11", 6 foot,
yeah,
somewhere in there. You're 300 and change, but you're a big man. And if you look at the body mass index, it should say that a big guy that's 5'11 should weigh between 168 and 172. You cannot get one calf down to that. So is 250 pounds a target?
250 pounds is perfect. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if it's perfect.
Well, it's not perfect, but I mean, for my height and my size, it would be perfect.
Your build, yes. Yes, okay. All right. So, well, as I've learned from the geniuses over at The Biggest Loser,
we're
all the same size.
Yeah, before you say, you know, I'm not on it yet, so just be nice to them.
All I'm saying is this. I got in an argument with those idiots because I was saying to them, look, Big Tad is at a disadvantage. He processes food differently than we do. His cut is different than, and they were like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that he should kill himself. I said, no, I'm giving the guy a break. Big people are big. Small people are small. Yeah, anyone, watch American Idol. Watch American Idol. You see the super spindly, no ass, long leg chicks go up there. And then there's that black woman whose ass is as big as a jukebox. I mean, her thighs, Mendeza. I mean, I think that's a wrestling name. Mendeza. You hear a big gong get hit and smoke pods go off and she comes down. Point is... She doesn't need to be punished for eating too much. And I always say to my wife when we're watching, I'm like, oh, see that Mendeza. If she would only get on the treadmill, she'd lose that ass. Are you kidding me? That is her cut.
All right, but listen.
Well, it's
Tad
like...
Tad worries. I'm sorry, Claude.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's like his fingers. I'm looking at them right now. They look like pickles.
Yes. They smell of them, too.
That's all right. There's three missing. Well, here's the thing, though, Ace.
Yes.
That, you know, Tad
gets
worried.
Remember, I got my list.
I know. Listen. No. I'm trying to help you along. Tad worries when you badmouth the producers of this show, but it only helps your cause of getting on because now if they take you, they can prove celebrity Adam Carolla wrong.
That's right.
You see?
That's
keep
right.
It only helps you.
Keep
That's
going.
Right.
Bring it on.
He doubts.
Right.
He's
right.
A cynic.
That's right. That I am. Yes. Okay.
Now.
All right. Don't get me started. All right. What are we doing? You got some questions for Big Tad? So, Big Tad, you filled out a thing. You answered some questions. You thought it went pretty well, and you'll find out definitively when.
Sometime next week, either Monday or Tuesday. That's what they were telling me.
And okay. If he gets on, the best part is he's gone for 3 months.
Oh, Shangri-La. Go ahead.
All right.
You got
now,
something, Dave?
We have something for Claudia, too. You know,
of
we
course.
Want to take some time to get to know her. And so I figured the best thing is all celebrities now, whenever you flip open a magazine, you see that in the first few pages, the American Express, My Life, My Card, those ads where they ask them and people give obnoxious, self-important kind of answers, you know.
Which were written by their publicist.
Sure.
Yes. I thought we might ask Claudia those. And Ace, you know, you're the front man of the band, and
thank
so
you.
Maybe you could help out Claudia here.
Sure.
You know, with her answer, she's probably, you know, maybe
now,
need some
advice. Are these here. Questions that were asked on the Biggest Loser?
No. These are off of the American Express.
Oh, that's
my
literally
life,
off
my
the.
Card
oh, I thought
questions.
There was. I thought
yes.
we had at least a flimsy tie into what Tad was talking about.
No. We completely moved on from
okay.
Tad.
I was confused. All right, go ahead.
All right, first.
Now, I heard you say the whole American Express thing. I thought you used that as an example of questions being asked.
Oh,
I didn't know you physically.
No, I've completely
had it in front
moved
of you.
On. I've completely
I got it.
Moved
all
on
right.
at producer Brusk's
I'd like
behest.
To, I'd like to get Tad out of the studio.
Oh, you would? Okay. All right, Tad. Good luck.
Next on the list, buddy.
All right.
Thank you.
Claudia, please
yes.
provide your answer for this first question. Childhood ambition.
Childhood ambition.
And Carolla, you know, help her out.
To work with Adam.
Well, no. Now here's how I'm going to help you, because we'd like to really get to know Claudia. And the other thing, too, is you're so beautiful, you don't have to be funny or entertaining. When you have the Brillo head and the big teeth like me, you have to be funny. Make us laugh, Brillo head. Make us laugh, we say. I want to know. I want to get to know you. I'd like to know what you wanted to be besides working with animals, which is what every 9-year-old girl announces she wants to do at a certain point and then realizes it involves going to college and then decides to nix that plan. But what did you want to be when you were young?
It's boring, but I wanted to be a diplomat.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a weird ambition for a young girl.
And I'm 41. I really don't know what a diplomat does now. How did you know what they did when you were 10?
Because I remember going to the passport office in Rome at the Canadian embassy, and I remember thinking, this is a pretty cool job.
I have the exact same story growing up. You just have to replace passport office in Rome with DMV and Van Nuys. I think I was going with my pops. Probably got another
DUI. But I did
DUI.
Get a little bit of a shot at it.
Really?
Working in Toronto for the Italian consulate. And then I realized all they do all day is watch soccer games. I remember when the Italian Cup, when the World Cup was on, they actually would close their doors while people are outside waiting for their documents, and they would just close the doors, order lunch, and watch the game.
Right. This, by the way, as we've talked many times, when there's no competition, when you're not competing with the other diplomacy office or whatever,
right.
When there's no competition, when you're the DMV, as we mentioned, when you're the gas company, when you're some governmental agency, that's what you do. You close the door, you turn the soccer game. Up and say, screw you guys.
Right.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Compared to fast food joints, everybody's got a 99-cent cent, so they compete. They have to fight
for
their
business.
Yeah, listen,
open a fast food joint, you guys go ahead and close at 3 in the afternoon every day. See how business treats you.
Yes,
they'll all
yes.
be going across
you
the
know,
street.
You just reminded me that fish fillets at McDonald's are 99 cents today. I get one every Friday.
Oh, well, so that's answer's perfect day.
Right
there, eating a McFish. Next,
Favorite movie? Gone with the Wind.
That is a great movie.
I like the classics.
I will say that a lot of the classics, so-called classics, you watch them, they don't hold up or they seem very dated. Gone with the Wind, sweeping epic.
What's your favorite
beautiful.
Movie?
Wow. I guess I would have to go with Goodfellas, but... It's like saying favorite song, favorite food, favorite whatever mood you're in. You can narrow it down to top 15 or
that's
20,
exactly,
but I would
exactly
say that.
Right. I have about 17 or so.
Yeah, how could you say what your favorite food is if you ate your favorite food 3 days in a row, you wouldn't be your favorite food anymore. Mm-hmm. Thank
all
you.
Right. So I'm surprised.
The more you know. The more you know. Thank you.
This question is weird. I didn't remember reading this one, but... real or fake boobs?
What do you think?
I think that means fake. We had this discussion yesterday.
About my boobs?
Did you really?
Yeah.
I said we, I mean me and my scrotum. I should stop saying we.
I'll give you an answer.
I should just say I thought about this. I'll give you an answer. Yeah.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Wow.
Really? Or is that just a Seinfeldism?
That's a jive.
Nope.
All right, now hold on. Hold on a second. Wow. Let me weigh in.
I've been wearing sweaters and T-shirts all week.
We had the discussion brought up, spearheaded by one Jimmy Brusca.
I thought you were talking about you and your scrotum again.
No, this was a three-way conversation.
If you guys don't believe me,
Brusca and my scrotum.
I can have Shelly, the cue card girl, feel him in the bathroom.
I would like to see that. Yes, I would like an officer of the show to be there, namely myself and my Two officers. My point is this. We discussed it and decided they must be fake because, you know what? I don't like the word fake. What should we use? Synthetic? First, I announced that only one of them was fake. And then later on, I was convinced that they both were enhanced. Enhanced is a nice word.
Go all the way.
Yeah, I think when people say like fake anything, if you got to fake this or do you fake, you know, if you're talking about dental work and said fake teeth, it seems weird. Enhanced, I would say just by your cut. Not many women with your slender cut have what I perceive to be a solid.
I'm not really that slender. I've got a
you
little
don't
bit
have,
of hips.
No.
I'm Italian.
How much do you weigh?
110, 112.
110, and you're not short.
I'm not?
No, I don't think you're short.
110. I do have an issue.
37 pounds of you is bosom.
I have an issue with my height.
What is that issue?
I just wish I was a little taller.
How tall are you?
5'5 and a little bit. I say 5'6.
Well, that, you know, I don't know, again, with the body mass indexing. Tad's goal weight, 275, by the way. It's 5'11". You being 5'5 and change and being 110, that's slight. That's not big at all. It's probably 15, 20 pounds
under
where
you
should be.
And another thing is that women, a common misconception among women is, you know, you always see, oh, the you know, in magazines, the paradigm for women is unrealistic. You know, they're too thin. That's not what the fellas want. They don't. What isn't as important are the models, the 6'3" models. That doesn't appeal to me. They're, I would say at least half the men in the world, if not 2/3 of the fellas, would rather a woman be 5'6" or less. Yes? How say you? You like them taller. But I'm saying I think most guys don't want a woman that's their height, the guy's height. You figure the average guy's height is 5'9" or something like that?
Maybe a little more.
Something like that. No guy wants to be... at
decent
eye level
point.
With their woman.
You know, here's what I will say. To me, it's, you know, it's a case-by-case thing. Short, tall, I don't go in with any...
We're all the same size in bed.
...preconceived notion. But I will say that it's interesting that tall women, you know, look better as models. They look better in clothes and that kind of stuff. And actually, the shorter, more petite guys look better when you on film, on camera, and that kind of stuff. You know, the whole, whenever you run into these, you know, I don't know, I'm dating myself, but the Luke Perrys or the Jason Priestleys or the 90210 cast, the heartthrobs, the hunky whatever, it's always amazing that the guys go 5'8" and a half, 145 pounds. You're like, wow, that guy's dinky. And then the female models are the ones that are 6'2". Mm-hmm. It's sort of flipped on its ear. The big guys don't look that great on camera. I don't exactly know how to account for that, but somehow
it's something to do
the
with
more
that.
Petite guys, well, it's symmetry.
Yeah.
What you're looking for is symmetry. You don't care about size. It's symmetry. Does the guy look like he's the right build? And somehow the guys that are 6'8" never have the right symmetry. They're always slumped over. One eye's a little bigger, lower than the other. It's like that. Somehow the guys that are 5'7" and 135 pounds have that symmetry. That sort of, like, you see a jockey, you see a flyweight fighter, 110-pound guy, or a horse racing jockey, 105-pound guy, in his underpants, a tight pair of underpants, you go, that's a good-looking guy. If you saw a picture of that, you go, that guy would kick my ass, what a great build. You see a 220-pound guy who's 6'4", in his underpants, he looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's absolutely true. And as I've said before, you know, listen, at the risk of sounding gay, you go out in Hollywood and you see women and the celebrities here and there, and you think, wow, I expected that one to be hotter. That one that, you know, you I don't want to name names, but because I don't want to ruin their careers by Dave Damaschek putting them down. But anyway, but the guys, though, every guy star, every matinee idol, you see him in person, and you're like, well, I see why you are where you are, because you are one beautiful bastard. So.
Thank you.
Every one of them.
I am a gay American.
Back to the boobs.
Yeah, where were
first
we?
First, to get a better look, I think you got to take off your jacket just so we can get a better judge of real or not.
Oh, yeah. No, there's too much. There's too much there.
But what if it's a push-up bra?
Also,
they're not really big. I kind of wish they were a little bigger.
Me too. I mean, really. here's another thing I'm gonna say, though.
You guys are just horny.
True.
You're imagining this.
We're also factoring some. I'll tell you, there's a couple things we're factoring in. Your chosen profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You went into show business, modeling in front of the camera,
that kind of thing.
Well, in a sense.
But thanks. What I mean is
if you're making a living, at least in part, because of your looks. So in a certain sense, it's like how many how many guys who operate heavy equipment had veneers put on their teeth? You know what I mean? Or ever got spray on tan? 0%. But how many weathermen ever did it? We can just do the math. You know what I mean? I would assume because you chose a life in front of the camera and not watching soccer games at the embassy, that there's a higher than average chance that you may have had a little enhancement down there anyway. And by the way, I'm not judging. I think this is a good thing. Do not get me wrong.
If they were enhanced?
Yes. I think, you know, you didn't go over the top, which I'm upset about. Ruska, please escort her out to the parking lot. They look good. You did a nice job. He did a nice job. They did a nice job. Me
what
and
you're hearing, yes. What you're hearing as we speak is the website of Claudia DeFalco. She has this music on her website. This is enhances your point.
Really?
Which is that, you know, of course, see, it's all on the cachet of her looks. The website, at least for now, it's just a scroll of her beautiful visage.
Wow.
You know, just
see that?
One image after another set to seductive, suggestive music.
Well, if you're going to do that, you better plug it.
Give it a plug.
I just did. Claudia DeFalco.
Hey, and .com?
.com, yes.
Okay, that's where you go. All right, well, if you want to see what we're talking about, I can tell you're lying, and I know you've had some work done. I'm just reading your face. Sorry.
Go to the Claudia, and it's spelled DIFOLCO .com, and you'll see what we're talking about, yes.
So what
and you be the judge.
What makes you think from my face that they were enhanced?
I can tell when people are lying.
You can?
Yeah.
But I'm looking at you. I'm not looking away.
Not this second, earlier. I can tell people's rhythm. I can read their rhythm. I can read their cadence. That's all I do. I have this disorder.
Could it possibly be because maybe it's a little uncomfortable to talk about?
I factored
about
that
one's
in.
Boobs?
I factored that in.
We should put that to the test in future days. Adam Carolla, the lie detector.
I can tell when people are lying.
I'll tell you a lot. I'll give you a series of things, and you tell me what I'm lying about.
All right.
That'll be fun.
All right. You also, though, Dave, I may not be able to do it on you because you may be like those guys who pass the polygraph test where you're so delusional and so psychotic that it doesn't work on you. You know, like Hannibal Lecter. Your mom diluted your brain so much that you actually think that everything that comes out of your mouth is the truth.
Correct.
You understand?
Yes, I'm with you. And in fact, you're correct about that. You're a real student of people.
He'd hook you up to a polygraph test and be like, are you the president of the United States? Yes, I am. He's not lying. In his mind, he thinks he's the president.
Absolutely true. Is
you have absolute rule over the entire world.
When I was 4 years old, I told Mo, my mother, that I wanted to be a garbage man. And then she was worried, like, well, he wants to be a garbage man. And I said, I want to be a gas station attendant. And then she told my old man, I'm worried about his self-esteem. This is what he wants to do. Then I told her the next week that when I grow up, I want to be God. And then she was disabused of those self-esteem issue problems.
Yeah.
Self-esteem, just get a boob job.
I told my dad I wanted to be a garbage man when I was 9. And he said, whoa, slow down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't want to pay for garbage school or whatever. He thought there was garbage college. He was trying to get out of it. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Explain later. You know, as an adult, you just want to see me disappointed. Build me up just to let me down. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Thanks for that insight, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Who's coming up? Annie Milonakis on the show. Monique coming up. Got a little April Fool's gag to play. Dave's got a list of his hottest Hollywood babes. Also, more inflammatory talk from Zacharias Moussaoui after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. Andy Milonakis coming in here in half hour or so. He'll be doing a little scatting for us. Also, Monique will be in here. She's got her fat movie, fat TV show. Got a fat video game coming out. I don't know. She's really capitalizing on this. But that's the way you do it.
Spelled with a PH.
Yes, you pick a direction and you go with it. Speaking of running things into the ground, Zacharias Moussaoui was on the stand. I see closing arguments. We're in the middle of the week, and the jury's deliberating. They're deciding whether this so-called 20th terrorist from the 9/11 plot should go to death or not. And it was one of these things where I don't know why our government puts anyone on trial anymore, because whenever they do these things where it sort of sounds open and shut, they then start bringing up what the government could have done, and you realize how pathetic the government is. Which is to say, they basically said, look, if Zacharias Moussaoui did actually tell you guys about the plot to take down the towers using commercial aircraft, I don't think you guys would have done anything about it. As a matter of fact, you did know for a number of years before this that terrorists, that there was the possibility, of course you don't know dates and times, nothing comes with dates and times, that's not the way it works. You get little bits of information and then you guys are so good you can thwart these things and stop them before they happen. I don't think our government is that good.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same thing with the levees. They were warned that the levees were going to break. I mean, Robert Plant and Led Zeppelin sang about the levees breaking, you know, 30 years ago. That wasn't enough time for they to do something.
He had the foresight to know that the good people of New Orleans would be flooded out in a mere 30 years, but yet we wouldn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be upset about that. My point is, even if the government knew about it, I don't think there's anything they could have done about it. And like I said, they did know that this was a scenario that the terrorists were working on. They just didn't know the dates. And again, yeah, see how they did over there in New Orleans and Louisiana with FEMA and the trailers are now rotting out in the swamps and all that. And then picture that same mindset taken to a security job.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're all screwed. The point is Moussaoui had a decent case, and then he got up on there and he started talking about him and Richard Reid, the shoe bomber, supposed to fly fifth jet into the White House, and he screwed himself. And the point is, he didn't stop there in terms of offending Americans. He did irreparable damage. He kept going. We have exclusively some of the tape from that trial. The stuff the news organizations don't have the guts to play. We've played it. And if you can handle the truth, and if you can handle what a monster this guy really is and how much he really hates this country, then sit back and listen.
I was going to have intercourse with the crack in the Liberty Bell.
Oh.
I was going to dig up the remains of Paul Revere and his horse and reenact famous scenes from the movie Hot to Trot.
Mm.
What can I say? I love the Bobcat Goldthwait. I was going to run up the steps of the Philadelphia courthouse like in your Rocky movie, but break wind with every step.
That cuts it. Yeah. You don't mock Sly Stallone.
No. Every step. Not every other step. Not for the first five steps. Every step. And again, I mean, the look on his attorney's faces when he went off on these jags, one could only imagine.
This rotten son of a bitch.
Well, please tell me there's no more.
I'd plan to drive a busload of Boy Scouts off the edge of the Grand Canyon. I would build a time machine, go back to the original signing of the Declaration of Independence, and stab John Hancock with a quill pen. I plan to go to the St. Louis Arch, go to the gift store, and take several snow globes without paying for them.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank goodness he didn't go on.
I was planning to go to Boston, hijack all the Ironsides, and use it to commit various acts of high seas piracy. I was going to break into the National Archives, steal the original draft of the Constitution, and use it as rolling papers for a gigantic tube. I wish to go to the Library of Congress, rip pages out of the John F. Kennedy's profiles in Courage, kidnap a file clerk, and give him paper cuts on his genitalia.
Oh, now that's where it turns. Wow. That has to be all he said.
Oh, I plan to take a crucifix and put it in a glass of urine. I would then take a photograph of it and make the government pay for it. What? You're kidding me. Mapplethorpe. Wow.
Yeah, that we already did that.
I was going to find Vice President Dick Cheney and pretend to be a bird. When he attempted to shoot me, I would move and shove a 78-year-old man in the way. What? That one too? Okay. How about this?
He's been out of touch, I guess. He's been in the joint.
New Orleans, and then not bring aid to any of the poor. Well, what? You've got to be s***ing me.
Wow. Sort of Nostradamus-esque at the end there.
So many ideas, so they're bound to be repeated by our own government.
Well, that's the whole thing. You can only spitball so many ideas before. It's why I don't accuse people of ripping off my jokes. You know what I mean? there are only so many good ideas out
there. Well, as you've said, whereas most of the rest of us are maybe comedy warehouses, you're a comedy factory, always producing new, where the rest of us bank it all and store it.
Thank you. One of the most pompous moments I've ever had. It's when I stormed up to the writer's room on the third floor of the Man Show. Called a general meeting, got them all into one office, and then announced I was a comedy factory. Where you're all essentially Sears tool sheds of comedy. Oh, I may.
Holding on to one bit.
Yes, I may throw you some of mine to store overnight, perhaps over the weekend, but I'll be needing it back. And by the way, I need the keys. Brian?
Hello?
You have proof that Claudia's boobs are fake?
I have alleged proof.
What is it?
We were at a concert, friend of mine and I. It was one of the Kiss, one of their multiple farewell concerts. It was a long time ago.
I know. They started, Kiss is the only band I know that went on a farewell tour 2 weeks before they formed. That was actually their first tour. Before they even met, they decided to tour the country saying this will be our last concert. Yes.
Anyway, Claudia was there doing a remote. Mm-hmm. And we were on the sidelines kind of taking verbal bets on if they were real or not, and a friend of mine who had been kind of drinking a lot, he went up and tried to give you a hug and brush up against you and stuff, and he came back and
I
said,
do remember being felt up while I was doing my live shot.
I don't
for
know
the
if
news.
That counts as proof.
Yeah. but it's
I swear to God, I do remember being felt up. I don't know who it was.
It is interesting. It's like, you know, back in the day, you young people, you miss this from TV. Back in the day, there'd be that point in the movie, in the spy movie, TV show, Mission Impossible, I would get a set of keys from the janitor and I would take the impression in a bar soap. I would push it down, make its doppelganger in a bar soap, and then I would pour my own key. I would like to do that with a chest plate. I get a soft soap chest plate. I go up to women, give me a hug, sweetie. They make the boob impression. Then I bring it back to the lab. I pour plaster Paris into it and I analyze it. Yes?
I say yay, but I've never felt... I've never knowingly felt a fake bosom.
Oh, really?
I'm a simple man, you know?
Yeah.
I've never been around the block, I guess. Is it that noticeable to the touch?
Well, you stop me if I'm wrong, Claudia. There's sort of the under the muscle and the over the muscle and the one they put in through the navel and the one that goes through the cornea and the right nostril. And there's all kinds of, there's good jobs and there's bad jobs. A good job, and the other thing, too, is are they pushing? You know what I mean? Are they trying to squeeze? If they're trying to squeeze a Humvee into a compact parking spot, you might be able to tell it's a little out of place.
You can see the bad ones. Yeah, they sit up too high. And
yes. The thing about it is yes, you could probably tell by feeling it, but I would say that if the guy did an excellent job, you may not know per se.
Hmm. What are you guys saying that you can tell if you can feel it?
I can tell only by taste. So, you do the math. We will take ourselves a little break. Andy Milonakis is now in the hizzy, as his people like to say. So we'll talk to him in a moment. We'll do some news. We'll do some sports. Andy, Monique, all that coming up.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Went to the Playboy Mansion last night with all the Heshers. Took some pictures. Didn't know I was going to... Me and Tommy Chong were the only celebrities there, so I took 750 pictures. We were laughing during the last commercial break, although I think it may have been over the air. But I don't count that as part of the show. So we're going to have to repurpose some of the comedy. But it is funny, and I never noticed it until you take 80 pictures in one night. People get drunk. Everyone has a camera now, by the way, which is horrible. And if they don't have a camera, their cell phone acts as a camera. They can't take a picture of you and them together, so they throw the camera either to their drunken buddy or a stranger, and then that person has 3.3 seconds to get a beautiful shot off. If not, the guy starts yelling at him.
Starts off with the insult of you're not good enough to be in the picture.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, hey, it's Man Show. It's Jimmy. Sorry. Alan. Come here. Yeah, it's Man Show. It's Man Show. Hey, get out of here. Let me take a picture of you, dude. I have now logged 25,000 hours of me standing with my arm around stinky, sweaty guys and nothing going
on.
And
I'm there with you. Hey, should I jump in there, too?
No, hey, Kurt. No. Take here, Kurt.
It's Dave.
Dave, take mine. There you go. All right, there you go. And now the guy grabs a camera. Now from this point, he has 0.9 seconds to get a shot off.
Now where do I press here?
It's a button. It's a button. I was saying to Dave, if I threw, and by the way, it's at night and the guy's drunk and we're standing on uneven terrain. If I threw my cell phone at you and went, check the messages, dude, check them and put it on speaker. I want to see you called. And you're like, what is this? An XL? Come on, dude. Come on. Don't be an idiot. It's the button. Press the button.
At least they're not grabbing your boobs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. Getting a wax impression. So I'm standing there, my arms around guys. Here's all I want. You know they have that thing now that gets the red out of your eye 3-4 seconds before the actual flash goes off. You see that little orange light. I need that light that tells me when to put the arm around the fat guy, because the problem is the arm always goes around him while he's handing, one arm around me, the other hand handing the camera off to Kurt, take the picture. Now, arm's still around. Now, the mucus, the thin layer of mucus starting to rub off of me. Kurt, dude, you're holding the camera upside down. All right, well then check the autofocus. Is it on auto? Meanwhile, we're still 69ing. Me and the guy were embraced.
And
we're still here.
Now it goes on long enough that you have to have a little awkward conversation with him. So, Adam, where are the juggies at?
Where are the juggies? Where's Dr. Drew? Where's Adam? I am Adam.
Do you really know Jimmy?
You still talk?
You actually friends?
You still talk to me? Arm's still around the guy. All I want is, and then it's weird because now if you take your arm off, you're uptight.
Yeah.
You're a celebrity copying at you, and then the arm's got to go back on. I'm just saying, if it had a little light, little setting, little celebrity setting, here's this will get the red out, and here's where the arm goes on. That goes on just a beat before the red eye flash goes on.
Maybe Panasonic will make one of those for you.
It would be nice. I just love the idea that nobody knows. And here's the thing. You should not know how to work your camera. You should know how to work your buddy's camera, because that's the camera evidently you're going to be using when you take it out for the night. And everyone just screams at each other. All right. Where the hell are we?
News.
Oh, news. All right. Filling in for the beautiful Rachel Perry. Claudia DeFalco.
A strong earthquake has hit a remote part of western Iran, killing over 60 people and devastating villages. Over 800 people were also injured. American reporter Jill Carroll was released yesterday in Iraq after 3 months in captivity. Here she is talking to NBC News.
All I can say right now is that I'm just happy to be free. I was treated very well. It's important people know that I was not harmed. They never said they would hit me, never threatened me in any way. And I'm just happy to be free and want to be with my family.
Yeah, huge fan of the people that abducted her. By the way, I would not be so kind. And I would be waxing on about, I gave him a karate chop. I said, you want some? Bring it on, because these hands are registered by one Uncle Sam. I would snap into the praying dragon move, you know. Come on! That'd be great. Oh, could you imagine the stories I would be telling? Let loose. I don't know who told you that. Broke out. Yeah. Yeah, after piling up a few dozen Iraqi guards, after thrashing them with my bare hands, I broke right through the cement wall.
I bet they're emailing each other, huh? They'll probably become pen pals.
I know it is. If she had like a Zagat's guide of abductors, she would give them like 5 stars. I don't know if there is. So write that down, Brusk. That's a good idea. I want to know where to be abducted.
In entertainment news, first his show Joey got canceled. Now it's his marriage. Mott LeBlanc filed for divorce Thursday in Los Angeles from his wife of nearly 3 years. Per court papers, the couple separated January 1st. LeBlanc is seeking joint custody of their 2-year-old daughter.
LeBlanc, then Hasselhoff. Is it really? I don't know if I want to go on.
So his wife won't be there for him.
Wow.
Thank you.
I can't. Matt LeBlanc is one of those guys I can't figure out if I'd want to hang out with or not. On one hand, he seems sort of vacuous and stupid. On the other hand, he was on the biggest show in the world for 10 years and seems like kind of guy you could kick around with. Like, for me, he's one of those jury is out.
Yeah, but
guys. Now
that he's divorced, he shall rise like the phoenix. Ah. He's got all that friends all right. loot to spend.
We're going out.
He may start hanging out with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah. Huh? She's learning to love again.
Maybe. You know, it was just a matter of time for this one. Once again, supermodel Naomi Campbell was charged with second-degree assault for throwing her cell phone at an employee, this time her housekeeper. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she stole her jeans she was supposed to wear on Oprah.
Maybe she just wanted to get a picture. She wanted the maid to take a picture with the cell phone camera. Did she club her with it, or did she throw it? She threw it at her.
Reports say that she threw it, but it was enough to give the housekeeper a wound on the head. It took four staples to close it. Campbell was released and allowed to keep her passport. Ask me why.
Why?
Because she needs to travel to South Africa next month to visit Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
To fly to Australia to hook up with her soulmate, Russell Crowe.
What a humanitarian. Yeah, stitches. Well, whoever the maid is going to cash in on this, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I wish he would throw a phone at me.
It'd be nice.
At the Playboy Mansion last night, ooh, among other things, a marijuana rights group held its annual fundraiser.
Yeah.
According to Reuters News Service, Adam Carolla says that while he was skeptical of pot's benefits, he believes people should be allowed to smoke it if they want. In fact, he indulged a month ago, but finds modern-day strains a bit too strong.
Well, here's all I'm saying. Wow, I do kind of remember doing that interview. The month was a random thing. Could have been high at that point. Here's the thing about all these things. It's funny because there's always a bunch of guys and they're wearing suits and they're, you know, have nice haircuts and nice frames on their glasses. And they're like, look, we're not a bunch of crazed biker drug addicts. We just believe in the Constitution and we believe. And then some guy ruins it all because Pops Hesher shows up in the wizard hat, wearing the bathrobe with the huge pot leaf embroidered on the back of it and rainbow tape. And it's like, all right, buddy, you're setting the cause back 300 years.
Well, yeah, that's what I say. Listen, the magazine, the High Times magazine, yes. Are there people really that you're that devoted to the lifestyle that you buy a magazine
evidently
and hang up the people who hang up the centerfolds?
Hey,
of
man.
The look at that bud, dude.
Listen.
Green, it's got those red hairs.
It was 1983. I was at LA Valley College. It was a different time. Dave, please, let's not judge. No, you know what I was telling those guys? I was saying that pot has got too good when I was telling the Reuters people or whoever the hell did that interview. I was basically saying that back in the day, pot came in pillowcases and you smoked the stem, the seeds, the leaf. You smoked the root. You smoked the guy's glove that pulled it out of the ground. You smoked everything. It all just got dried up and you smoked it. Now, if you look at High Times, you look at these buds, they're like dripping with THC honey, they're orange and purple, they have hairs and they literally have crystals on them now. And the pot science, the science of growing the hydroponic weed is evolved to such a point where you take one hit and you're ruined for the week. Lightweights like me can't handle it. The problem is I want to appear to be cool. You know, when I'm at the Hollywood party and one Bill Maher hands me a doobie, I don't want to be like Squaresville Pops Carolla. I want to take a hit, but I'll be ruined. I'll hallucinate. All I'm saying is let's make a sort of happy shake for guys who aren't hardcore dudes like me. Little bit of the new bud mixed in with a little bit of the old leaf from the 70s. A little something, you know, sort of
the equivalent. You got the 151 Bacardi for the hard takers.
Right.
You want a little Malibu rum.
I want a sangria.
Right.
And I want to nurse it the whole party. I don't want to just, I don't want to drink Everclear through a beer bong that's put in my rectum. Maybe I didn't need to go that far with the rectum, but you know what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. In NASCAR was getting a little too fast, a little too dangerous for the driver. So what? They got restrictor plates. And they put the restrictor plates in the carburetors, and now the cars can only top out at 200 miles an hour so people won't get killed as quickly. Where is my bong restrictor plate? Where's the equivalent to that? That's all I'm saying. I'm going to crash and burn. I'm going over the barrier. I'm going to kill some guys in my crew.
Well, and as you say,
thank you.
And as you say, it's,
the more you know.
It can't help.
Thank you.
It can't help, but you know.
Hold on, Dave. Don't ever step on the more you know.
I'm sorry. That
the
is
more
the
you
most
know.
Important message.
I'm Clyde and
hold
Volko.
On. Now you stepped on the more you know. The more you know. Thank you. Sorry, Clyde.
I'm Claudia DeFalco, and I'm high. I mean, I'm done.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave.
You're high and you lie about your bosoms, at least. And I, for one, don't appreciate it, but I do appreciate the bosoms.
Ooh.
Bobby!
Isn't it a more appropriate question asking me if I smoke pot?
Yeah. Do you smoke pot?
Enough with the boobs. Everybody has boobs. You've seen one pair, you've seen them all.
Bobby!
All right, what's the next answer to the next question?
I did for the first time a month ago in Amsterdam.
For the first time?
In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam sort of makes it
okay.
You
think you're a lightweight.
It's a European version of college. Oh, in college, you can do anyone. Yeah, I murdered some hookers in college. It comes a different time. It's 1989.
But you think you're a lightweight?
Yeah.
I don't know what they gave me. I don't even remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you ended up with the boobs.
Yeah.
You just woke up in a motel room with boobs. I was missing a liver, but you got the boobs.
Bobby!
She got one of those little apartment rooms in the red light district for 3 weeks. She didn't even know that she was so drugged. She had no idea what even happened.
Turning tricks with tourists. Oh, this is great.
Well, let's talk about the big story.
Yes.
L.A., all of L.A., the sports mecca, excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Final Four time tomorrow. The UCLA Bruins, the most vaunted team in college basketball history. 11 national crowns. They will go up against LSU. And their underdogs are the Bruins. 2.5-point dogs to LSU.
Wow.
A lot of people are predicting that LSU will move on to play the Florida Gators, their SEC foes. Florida is playing George Mason, the big Cinderella. Florida giving 6. Later, I'll give my picks. And as you know, I'm a master prognosticator.
I don't know why they play. They should just see what you say.
Correct.
And then cancel the game.
Right. Then have the and then
if you say LSU wins, then LSU moves on.
And then tomorrow we would have our whole days free. You don't have to be shut in for 5 hours watching college basketball.
Right.
As I will be.
Right.
You know, now we'd all just go out.
Yeah,
all
we
could
enjoy our Saturday, yeah.
I like the cut of your jib. NBA. Supposed to be a big game last night for Kobe and company here in L.A. Going up against the best team in the West, San Antonio. It was going to be a chance to gauge just how good they're looking as we go into the playoffs. Not too good, as it turns out. The Spurs beat up on them real bad and in our own building, in the Lakers building.
Well, nobody comes to our house and wins by more than 25?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's the refrain that Phil Jackson uses.
Right, so won by 21 or so.
Yes, and the big steroid scandal continues specifically for the focus on that creep Barry Bonds. You know, he's saying, "Oh, I'm not gonna play ball with you guys. I'm not gonna Bud Selig wants to investigate me. Good luck. I'm not gonna comply with whatever you want to do." But he is leaning on his pal Victor Conti, the head of Balco, the guy who makes all the steroids, who just got out of the clink. Here's what he says in defense of Barry Bonds.
I've repeatedly stated that I did not provide Barry Bonds with steroids. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've never even had a discussion with Barry Bonds about steroids.
Fantastic guy to step up for you, right? The guy literally walks out of the clink after 4 months for moving steroids. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, too. I don't want anyone with that pencil-thin mustache defending me on any topic. I don't want a guy that looks like Vincent Price rushing to my defense. This guy, Victor Conte, has that super cheesy, it's like the things carnival barkers have, super thin, pencil-thin mustache. Him and Joe Jackson is another one of these guys, Michael Jackson's dad.
Yeah.
When you see that guy with that, I mean, it's a cartoon mustache, and it's when you're casting a movie and you need a guy to play the slimy heavy. The guy who does nothing but glad hand and lie, wants to rape the land and steal the money from the indigenous. You put that mustache on him. That's literally the villain mustache. That's the guy who's never told the truth in his life. Mustache. Don't grow that mustache if you're going to be put on court, or at least shave it off before you go to court. You want get some pork chop, get some nice mutton chop sideburns. There's a guy.
Then you'll look like a porn star.
No, the more you know. Thank you. No, you'll look like a Civil War general. Grow that kind of facial hair. That's the guy who gives you a firm handshake and says, "Sir, my word is my bond."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not
Victor
the crazy
Conte comes
thin
your
mustache.
Way. You see scumbag coming. He doesn't have to open his mouth. How do you think Conte went over in the joint, by the way?
Who do you think?
With the mustache.
If you took a look at Victor Conte or Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's dad, and you just took a headshot of both of them and said, "Which one do you think is lying?" You're like, they're both lying and they're not even moving their mouth.
Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention was Survivor, which is kind of a sport. It's a pseudo-sport, a competition at least.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch last night?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see when the guy got hit in the face with the machete? I mean, he just got his lip and tooth cut.
Yeah.
But he broke his tooth. It chipped his tooth.
Yeah.
His lip. They're like, oh, you need stitches. You need to leave the island for a day and go get that fixed up, stitched up and everything.
Right.
Goes, nope, I'm going to tough it out.
Right.
I was just thinking, if that was me, there's a big... I would have cried for fear that I might get tetanus. Please, remove me from this island, and I would be gone from there. But I love that guy. I would have been freaked out, but this guy, nope, I'm staying on the island.
Well, if it was you, the good news is your mother's a nurse, and she would have been there on the island with you, obviously.
We have a clip
of that. That would have been the one item I brought was Mo Damashek.
That survivor thing happened. We have a clip.
Oh, we do.
Building the shelter, and Bruce needs some rope cut, and I have the machete. It goes through the rope and hits him in the face, the sharp end.
Oh, my God. God, I'm sorry, Bruce. Neither of us were really thinking.
Sorry.
You chipped the top second tooth in inside you.
And chipped a bit of his tooth and cut his lip. It was just a sickening sound.
It's a good strategy, though.
Gritty.
Hit everybody, just kill everybody with the machete and just keep apologizing. Did I do that again? I cut the other one's head off? I am so sorry. So I'm the only one left? I guess I'm the winner.
All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Andy Milonakis is going to be in here in just one moment. Also, Monique coming up. We'll talk a little April Fool's fun. Dave's got his hottest Girls of Hollywood list. Don't worry, that's not coming for a while. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the great Andy Milonakis after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Andy Milonakis in studio. 866-901-ADAM. Star of the Andy Milonakis Show, MTV2. Second season starts tonight, 6 p.m. Also, season one out on DVD. I must say proudly, I'm one of the producers of the show, although I get no credit for its success. Andy gets it all, and Jimmy Kimmel gets the second amount. But what a success. I don't know, surprise or not, but what a success first season of Andy Milonakis was.
Yeah, it starts at 9 p.m.
It says 6 here. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's weird. I looked at this and I said 6. That sounds early. And then I thought, no, maybe it's an Eastern time, Western time thing. Yeah, you can't put that kind of filth on while the sun's still up, can you?
It's weird because, like, the whole show ran because, like, you know, 8 episodes goes by quickly. It's like, just 2 months and... Like, the good press didn't really come in until after the whole show aired. Like, the funniest thing to me was, like, Entertainment Weekly gave it number one on the must-see list, and they gave it that little award thing in their magazine after the whole show ran its course and aired all
well,
the
that,
episodes.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, look, when you know, I've worked with MTV. They're not exactly the most confident people in the world when it comes to, you know, new talent. And they probably sized up us and they sized up Andy and they said, we'll give you 7.5 episodes. And we said, well, we can't really do a half. And they said, all right, make it 8, but leave us alone. And then it turns out to be a huge hit. They just don't know in advance that it's going to be nearly as big as it is. It could have been like, Fran and Ollie, or whatever that other puppet show they did 20 years ago was.
Oh, Syphil and Ollie?
Syphil and Ollie.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah, you were the only one.
Well, now, Milonakis, this has been, I mean, for of all the most unlikely of superstars now, MTV Idol, and you, you know, 3-4 years ago, could you have imagined, before we went on the air, you're talking to Claudia DeFalco, the beautiful Fox, about your times at the hip clubs of Hollywood.
Concord.
What's this like for you?
The old Concord days. Old Concord days. I don't know. I just actually read this post. Someone sent me this. They posted this thing, like, from 3 years ago when I posted about taking improv classes. And I sounded like such a dork. I'm like, they're like, yeah, we're looking for... people, a story on people who are taking improv classes but don't want to make a career out of comedy. So, and I read this thing I wrote. I'm like, yeah, I'm bored with life. I fix computers for a living. And I can't get through my week just thinking of my boring, stupid job. So I'm going to take comedy classes and blah, 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 blah.
He wrote the Super Bowl is gay. And the next thing you know, the world was your oyster. I remember it as if it was yesterday, by the way, sitting at the writer's table over at Jimmy Kimmel Live. He turned his computer around, showed us a little magic called The Super Bowl is Gay by a young Andy Milonakis. Probably 2.5 years ago, something like that. It was pretty early on in the Kimmel run. He decided that you were a diamond in the rough. and then he must get you out to L.A. and immediately start knocking the shale off your diamond so that we can get to the beautiful diamond.
Yes. I joked about him, joked with him about, because like he had this website of the week thing about a year after I came out. And it was just like Jimmy Kimmel Live's website of the week. And they just showed like this website for, you know, 20 seconds and then he was done with it. And I told him that if he found me a year later, I would have been the website of the week, like 20 seconds of time and then peace. And well, he agreed.
It didn't turn out that way. And now you're riding a rocket ship to stardom.
Oh, wow.
Andy Milonakis in studio. He's got his show, The Andy Milonakis Show on MTV2 tonight. 9 o'clock.
Nine, baby, not six.
Let's not miss that. You brought your guitar with you, yes?
I did. I'm going to do a little ditty, John Cougar Mellencamp style.
All right, so you'll get your acoustic guitar. You'll do a live original song for us.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
New song or one of the classics?
It's actually a new song. It's called Rainbows and Ponies.
All right.
It's deep.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Andy Milonakis here. We'll hear his song, Rainbows and Ponies, after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call him now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla radio program. What you're hearing now is a taped recording of my voice. We are not live on the air. Why? Because we are pulling an April Fool's prank on our producer, Jimmy Brusca. Andy Milonakis is in on it. We're all in on it. Everyone, except for the aforementioned Jimmy Brusca. Now, I can't give you all the details because of time constraints. We will be back with you very, very shortly, and we will fill you in on what we did to Brusca. He should be going insane right now and storming out of the studio. We will play you the recording of it as well when we return. Again, please stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with the live show.
Once again, to reiterate, you're listening to a pre-recorded message because we're playing a pre-April Fool's Day joke on producer Brusca. What we're doing is we have Andy Milonakis from the Andy Milonakis Show in studio playing his new song, F-Bomb Lace Tirade, and he is singing it, unveiling it, or so Brusca thinks, over the airwaves, thereby breaking every FCC law there is and probably getting us kicked off the air. So Brusca is probably freaking out, chasing Milonakis' odd little body all over the studio. Carolla's probably shouting at him. Fake programming directors that we've staged are calling in to yell at Brusca. We want to see how he'll handle this. It'll be a lot of fun. Well, everybody else but Brusca probably will enjoy it a great deal. Hopefully it'll work out. So stick around. You're going to hear the edited version of what we're doing as we speak in just a little bit once we clean up the F-bombs and bleep those things out. And it'll be a delightful experience to listen to one man crumble and descend into a puddle of tears. In the meantime, to tide you over to try and fill some of the space, let's do a little knock-knock joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janet at evening. Maybe I should play a further joke on the listener and I will do a song. Did you ever know that you're my hero, Brusca? You're a pathetic lesbian who is very fat. Oh, I could fly higher than an eagle if you weren't an albatross around my neck.
This is Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla. Hearing now is a taped recording of my voice. We are not live on the air. Why? Because we are pulling an April Fool's prank on our producer, Jimmy Brusca. Andy Milonakis is in on it. We are all in on it. Everyone, except for the aforementioned Jimmy Brusca. Now, I can't give you all the details because of time constraints. We will be back with you very, very shortly, and we will fill you in on what we did to Brusca. He should be going insane right now and storming out of the studio. We will play you the recording of it as well when we return. Again, please stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with the live show.
Once again, to reiterate, you're listening to a pre-recorded message because we're playing a pre-April Fool's Day joke on producer Bruska. What we're doing is we have Andy Milonakis from the Andy Milonakis Show in studio playing his new song, F-Bomb Lace Tirade. And he is singing it, unveiling it, or so Bruska thinks, over the airwaves, thereby breaking every FCC law there is and probably getting us kicked off the air. So Bruska is probably freaking out, chasing Milonakis' odd little body all over the studio. Carolla's probably shouting at him. Fake programming directors that we've staged are calling in to yell at Bruska. We want to see how he'll handle this. It'll be a lot of fun. Well, everybody else but Bruska probably will enjoy it a great deal. Hopefully it'll work out. So stick around. You're going to hear the edited version of what we're doing as we speak in just a little bit once we clean up the F-bombs and bleep those things out. And it'll be a delightful experience to listen to one man crumble and descend into a puddle of tears. In the meantime, to tide you over to try and fill some of the space, let's do a little knock-knock joke. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janet at evening. Maybe I should play a further joke on the listener, and I will do a song. Did you ever know that you're my hero, Bruska? You're a pathetic lesbian who is very fat. Oh, I could fly higher than an eagle if you weren't an albatross.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show. You better call. This is MG. You got to go. Call the Adam Carolla
Show.
All
right. We had a little meltdown. I want to apologize over here. Andy Milonakis sort of spun out. Charlie?
Jim Bruska.
See if he's on the phone. Try this. Charlie? You there?
Yeah, this is Charlie. This is Charlie.
Hello.
No, not getting, all right, he was the PD from San Diego. All right, well, we know he's on. Charlie?
Hello, this is Charlie.
Charlie, you're the program director from San Diego, one of our affiliates?
103.7 Free FM, down here, KSCF.
Okay.
I'm the producer of this show.
Well,
Is this Adam?
Yes. And
You want to go ahead and walk me through what just happened here?
Well, listen, Charlie, it's really not anyone's fault but mine, and I should have prepped him and not to say anything.
Who is this speaking?
This is the producer of the show. It's not Adam's fault. It's not Dave's fault. It's my fault. And obviously had no idea.
Can I get your name?
Listen, can I just finish, please? Obviously, we had no idea that that guy was going to do that, and that does not represent the show at all. And obviously,
Bruska? James Bruska?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead and walk me through how that was just coming across my station. We were able to jump on it. We got a few of them got through, but we got a guy on the button. I don't know what's happening up in Los Angeles.
Well, we have a guy who's supposed to hit the dump button. I guess a phone call came through right at the time Milonakis had his meltdown. And like I said, I know the buck stops with our producer, Bruska, but it really wasn't his fault.
I produced morning radio. Even though I wasn't working the button, I was in charge of the button.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I'm not in charge of the button.
No, you listen. You listen to me for one second, Jim, okay?
Okay.
We're 2 days into the spring book, and this is what you guys are giving me.
Well, I don't think that's what do you want
to
do?
Now, listen, we have to move on, and we apologize as a show, and we did not obviously have anything to do with
it. Let me talk to Jim for a second. Jim, you're
I'm going to come on the phone in the back room. We've got to move on with the show.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, I don't want to air this.
I don't want Adam to have to hear all this. I don't want this to get on the air. I would just like to speak to you, Jim, professionally.
Okay, and we're fans of San Diego. We appreciate being on the air.
Big fans of the show. Big fans of the show, Adam.
All right.
Perfect show.
And so we will remain a part of your program.
I need to speak to Jim for just a moment.
Okay.
This isn't on the air, is it?
Well, this is, yeah, but I'll put you on hold and you can speak to him off the air.
This is on the air.
This is, yes, but I'll put you on hold. You can speak to him off the air. Okay. All right. Now he's speaking to Bruska.
I thought thought he's on the phone for you.
I'm sorry, but I have to laugh. I can't believe what my life has become. All right. What are we doing? We're going to break? Wow. It continues. All right. Let's...
So Milanakis may or may not have gotten us kicked off the air.
Let's go to break. Let's regroup.
Go to break, regroup, or...
Let's go to break and regroup.
Dave, go to break, regroup.
Let's.
All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. All right. Well, we had a little meltdown. We are with Andy Milanakis and the F-bomb. We'll prepare just to move forward with the show. Brusca, any?
Yeah, I just want to, one more time, just to apologize. And it was completely, had nothing to do with this show or Adam. And I should have obviously prepped him. The dump guy should have dumped
Jimmy,
him.
Jimmy, I don't want to bust your chops, but Jimmy did talk about telling Andy to, you know, keep it cool on
Jimmy
the air.
Jimmy Kimmel warned Brusca drop
that.
That's right.
Did you talk to him about that?
Yeah, he mentioned yesterday, and I was worried about the cards and the information, and I didn't prep him.
So
and
you didn't talk to him?
That's 100% my fault. I did not talk to him.
Wow.
At the same time, he shouldn't have done that. We were completely surprised, and mm-hmm. had nothing to do with anything that we would set up.
Right.
And we don't, you know, that has nothing to do with
it. Well, I want you to know I will fight for you.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but honestly,
there's only so much I can do. I mean, I'm just being upfront. I will fight for you, but...
No, listen, I should have prepped him, and that's my fault. And at the same time, we had Jack Silva called in at the same time that Milanakis was on.
Right.
Dump guys on the phone
cell
with Jack
phone.
Silva.
Well, that's part of the
job.
Many of the things I'm going to bring up when I'm fighting for
but
you.
But that's all right.
All right.
Let's move on.
Let's move on and talk April Fools, because... None of that got on the air, Brusca.
Are you serious?
No, that's a little April Fool's joke. Milanakis, come
it's
on
a great
back
show.
In here.
A lot of fun.
That's
a great show.
We had a recorded loop fun. Playing
you
on
dope.
The air.
Are you serious?
What, you think nobody would tackle him if he's doing that?
Oh, you tried. That was Tony Barbieri calling as the program director from the San Diego Philly. Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty good.
Tony?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's happening, Tony?
LTL FTC, buddy. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, brother. Nice job as Charlie, the program director from San Diego.
So yeah, I just want to make sure none of those went out.
No.
Thank God.
Brusca, very defensive of his man, Ace.
Yes, I know.
Although, I don't know if you got the phone conversation we just had in his office, but... Very nervous. True or false?
I hear the deal. You had me, Tony, and it was a very good job. But I was like, why is this guy continually talking to me? It's like he's just. I gotta go. I gotta take care of this. He's like, oh no,
as
one more thing.
Somebody says I gotta go, there's no way I'm letting you off.
That's right. Even if it's to the bathroom.
All right. High fives and handshakes.
Even Lynn, you guys are
surreal,
crazy.
Right?
Even engineer Lynn came in going, what's going on? Engineer Lynn's in on this.
Just to catch everybody up and make sure we're all on the same page, because even my head is swimming now, too, and I knew what was going on. Phone screener Brian decided a few days back we ought to play a joke on Brusca, and we ought to do it on the air. So what we did is we made a tape. You guys heard it over the air of me saying this is a joke. We're playing it on Brusca, and we played a little Mexican road raid. Right, race music, little Herb Alpert behind it, and I just did the loop. So what was going out on the air was a looped recording. We then came back from commercial. Andy Milanakis sung a song and dropped 130 F-bombs. Brusca actually tried to tackle him and knock the guitar out of his hand. Andy moved on to another microphone. He moved,
I didn't know
moved on to Claudius.
I could get it without getting sued. I was about to punch him in the face. I told you it would have been bad.
That was my one concern, was that Brusca's
really
first instinct is to swing.
I really
was going to take Milanakis
really
out.
I was going to beat him up.
It would have been 101, but I'm glad I didn't.
Right. So none of that got on the air, although you will get a chance to hear it as soon as we bleep out the considerable plethora
and Tony
of
Barbieri, master prankster, really intimidated Brusca.
But it was very exciting. Here's what Brusca should have figured it out. I gave him a couple little tips. When I said, listen, I'm a huge fan of the show. I like
I like the sports guy. I like the retarded college kid. Nothing.
I know. He went from the prank, which is hilarious, but to, like, you know, I'm not a big fan of the show either. I don't like the this and that. I'm like, well, I don't have time to talk about this right now.
Yeah.
I said, it's like you guys never came back from your Vegas trip. This is the only assurance I got from myself. First of all, are you in charge? Who's in charge? I'm in charge. Who's in charge? Busca. I'm in charge! and I said, okay, can you control Corolla? Yes. Can you contain Corolla? Yeah, I gotta go. Tell me, I have to know. Can you contain Corolla? Yes, I can contain Corolla.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. Nobody contains Corolla.
I originally said, Adam, I'm not gonna stop whatever he says, but in particular, this had nothing to do with Adam. Andy Milonakis came on and did that.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna get punched. That's why I was like, should I be sitting right next to the guy who wants to kill me? Yeah, no problem. Just, run around a little bit. If he tries
what
to
the
be-
hell is that, Bruska? You promised me Milonakis would never be back on that show.
All right,
Tony Barbieri. Now I'm
going to
do it for real. This is my April Fool's on you.
Thank
ready?
You. thank you very much.
I hope
the dump guy is ready.
Get ready. Dump man.
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime, mate.
Marvelous
pleasure.
Work.
Tony, a great, great talent from Jimmy Kimmel Live and many other places. Windy City
All right.
Heat. Funniest
I'm resigning.
Ever.
You guys are jerks.
When Milonakis started singing and Brusca went for him, I haven't seen a sweaty lesbian move that fast since the WNBA playoffs.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
All right.
And Kimmel's diabolical because I know he's mentioned that yesterday. Knowing I'll forget to prep him, and he was in on it.
I'm sure. Kimmel laid a little groundwork yesterday by pulling Brusca aside and saying, Milonakis doesn't do a lot of live gigs. Make sure and let him know about the FCC and just how far he can go with this. So he laid the groundwork, and it actually worked because you predictably did not remember to talk to Milonakis about his language, and then you felt bad. You felt as if you could have stopped it had you had the conversation with him, right?
If that was real, it would have been my fault. And I honestly was ready to resign.
Well, I would have.
I was going to screw the show up.
I wouldn't have defended you. You tried. You pulled the guitar out of his hands and tried to pull the microphone aside, but he went to a new mic.
That was maybe my favorite moment. Actually, was the little dessert there. Was you saying I'll do my best to fight for you? And his reaction to that. I'm by myself on this one. I see.
Well, I wanted to give him that ominous look. If they want to ask Kanye, there's really nothing I can do, although I will attempt to do something. Like a surgeon, if the cancer's gotten too far, there's really nothing
I can
do.
Very, very dramatically also, I'll do my best with like a pause.
Thank you. Thank you. Andy Milonakis, everybody. Well, your work is done here, Andy.
All right, peace out.
That was a wonderful job. Andy Milonakis, MTV2, the Andy Milonakis Show, second season. Tonight at 9, well, you know, we got a little more time before we go to break, and we still need a little time to edit all the F-bombs out of that tape, which we will play for you. I think it's a good enough time with April Fool's Day being tomorrow and all to tell one of the greatest, what a shock, Kimmel-related April Fool's stories that was perpetrated on moi. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. I think it bears repeating. Many years ago, I think it was season one, could have been season two, can't quite recall, of The Man Show, I got a call from the Dixie Chicks publicist. And the prank has not begun yet. This is an actual phone call. I'm doing Loveline on MTV. The Man Show is first or second season. We're still working on it. We're in our office. Me and Jimmy shared an office. And I get a call from the publicist over for the Dixie Chicks. And they say, Natalie, the lead singer from the Dixie Chicks, she wants to take you to the Grammys. She wants you to escort her to the Grammys this year. And I thought, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I like the Dixie Chicks. I've never been to the Grammys. And then how I knew I was really going to go and really in is because I spoke to her and she said, I was watching MTV and you told a story on MTV on Loveline where you were driving with your girlfriend in the car and you broke wind and you started fanning the gas up toward your face and your girlfriend was disgusted and said, do you have to fan the gas up toward your face? And you said to her, I'm driving an automobile. You want me to tuck my head between my legs while I'm driving? She was in love with that for some reason.
The pithiest fart joke ever.
Yes. I was like, we will go into a tree. Is that what you want? Now, please, I'm trying to focus and flap. For some reason, Natalie from the Dixie Chicks was delighted with that gas humor and decided I should escort her to the Grammys. So I thought, well, this is going to be a tough sell with the girlfriend, you know. But I said, look, you get to go to the concerts, you get the freebies, you get the backstage, you get the fun stuff. And then every once in a while, I have to and I shouldn't have said bang, escort another gal to the Grammys. And I'm going, and I'm in, and this is going to be a good time. And as it turns out, they won. And I was sitting right next to them, and the cameras went over to us. The other chicks were hugging their husbands and kissing, and I was, like, standing there next to Natalie. And I knew my then-girlfriend and now-wife would be home watching this, so I just extended a hearty handshake. There you go. That a girl. Excelsior. So they went off and collected their Grammys, and I had to go do Loveline, the radio show that night. So we just partied for an hour or something. Then I got in the limo, went off and did that. So I got back to the office the next day, and and there was a bouquet of flowers waiting for me when I got back, and went on my desk, and it said, you know, thanks for the Grammys, good times, you know, thank you, Natalie from the Dixie Chicks. And I was like, oh, well, that was nice of her. And of course, Jimmy and my partners at the mansion were like, well, what went on over there? Oh, nothing. And we just had a good time. It's okay. Well, how's Lynette doing? How's your girlfriend doing? You know, she's a little PO'd, but, she's okay. I think she'll recover. All right, fine. So, it has her cell phone number on the card, and I give her a call, and I say, hey, Natalie, this is Adam. I just want to thank you for sending over the bouquet of flowers, and I had a nice time. Oh, that's great. Fine. She was very casual about it. That's it. The next day, I show up to the office, and on my desk, and I'll try to get the order of these things right. On my desk, it's like an oversized chocolate chip cookie or something with candles, and it's Natalie from the Dixie Chicks. Give me a call. You know, and I was like, wow, all right, well, all right. So I give her a call. I actually call her that night. And here's the part, and this is the part that Kimmel could have never worked in, but it was just kismet that it worked out this way. I called her, and she's like, hello? She's in Nashville. I'm driving into work at 10 at night. And she's like, hey, I'm watching you on TV right now. And I was like,
poor kid's got it bad for the Ace Man,
yeah. It's going to be tough to let her down. I don't want to, you know, I could ruin a career here if I let her down, you know, because the confidence is all you bring out there on stage, you know, a banjo and your confidence. So I was like, hey, listen, Natalie, you know, I had a great time the other night. And, you know, when you Dixie Chicks come into L.A., by all means, come on the radio show. But, you know, I'm in a pretty serious relationship. But again, I'm, you know, flattered that you asked me to the Grammys. It was great. And so we'll talk to you when you come into town next. OK, then. All right. Doing what I should be doing. Next day, come in to the office. There's a 6-foot sub at this point.
The height of romance.
written in mustard. On top of it, it says, I will not be ignored. Now, I should have got suspicious because I remember saying, Giamella's. I love that sub place. How did she know that GML is my favorite sub place? But anyway, and all the stupid riders that were in on it, of course, no one bothered to go to lunch or pack a lunch. They all just came running in.
I was just going to say, that's Kimmel like working a little fringe benefit there, right? GML is his favorite sub. Well, you know, I'll get to eat some of that.
Right. So we had that. And of course, Kimmel's there like, hey, buddy, this is getting out of hand. I should have known because normally he just has his face buried in his laptop and doesn't know what I'm talking. But he was like, all of a sudden, he was unorganically concerned. He was like, what is going? What is that, by the way? Do we?
Phone.
Oh, OK. All right. We cool. We got a phone call. No. Dave, you got a phone call?
Dave pressed the phone.
Dave, hit your phone, would you? Something's going on with your phone there. Thank you. Thank you for stealing my thunder.
I didn't press it. I didn't touch the phone.
All right. Let's just keep moving forward. Where the hell was I? All right, where was I?
I'm so sorry.
So now Kimmel is saying, oh, man, this is getting out of hand. you got to call this girl. You got a full-blown stalker on your hand. Ah, she's all right. Leave her alone. The following day, I get some lingerie waiting for me at my desk from Natalie that basically just says, just come out to Kentucky and F me. And of course, now Jimmy says, listen, buddy, I swear if you don't call, I will. You better call her, and you better lay down the law right now. You got a good woman at home. This is going to spin out of control. He got me all revved up, and I was like, and of course, at that point, my S didn't stink. I was like, well, look, she's only flesh and blood. I don't want to come down on her too hard. You know, there's a lot of women and only one ace man. Kimmel, let me explain something about ladies, something you could never understand. You know, you look at me and you say, well, what a blessing, but it can be a curse as well. Well, I don't know what people like, my personality, or it's just the machismo. It's just the man they're going after. He's like, you better call her right now. So I called her. Called her on her cell phone. She was at a Nashville Pottery Barn with her mom. I'll never forget. Jimmy Kimmel's now on the phone. She picked up the phone. Yes, thank you, Brusker, for that sound effect. Jimmy?
Hey there.
Hey, Jimmy.
How's everything?
It went off very well. Brusca.
We're wading through Brusca's sweat. I got to tell you, I'm still rattled. Jimmy, you and I are no longer friends.
Brusca. He's out of his mind.
Rattled, Brusca.
Yeah, I almost really put Milanakis through the ground.
Yeah, Milanakis should get a daytime Emmy for the work he did on this show.
All these guys were unbelievable actors.
I told you. I said Brusca was immediately going to go. He was going to leap for the guitar and maybe slug Milanakis.
I only downplayed it, you idiot, because I didn't want to freak out Milanakis. It was during the commercial break. This is how much bedside manner Damashek has. During the commercial break, Brusca's out of the room, and I'm like, yeah, Andy, just go sick with the F-bombs, and if he stops you, move on to the next mic. And Dave's like, he may take a swing at you. And I'm like, shut up, you idiot. You want to freak out the midget? Come on, Dave. I knew he was going to get socked, but I didn't care. I was thinking about the show.
I want to get to the bottom of this. I know you said phone screener Brian was the one who came up with this, but yes. I know Kimmel had a big part in this.
Kimmel knows a good idea when he hears one. That's part of his genius. He immediately glommed onto it and then took it to the next step. He figured out Milanakis should do it. He figured out he should give you the briefing on Milanakis, which Jimmy worked like a charm because
he casually said it like it was like one little line, and he knew if he didn't make a big deal about it, that I would forget, and he was right.
I planted a seed, that's all. You just plant a little seed.
Yeah, well, it worked like a charm.
You know what the best thing about the whole thing is Brusca will not rest until we're all dead. I mean, every one of us.
There will be revenge. There definitely will be. And I will get yous all back. I will. Including you, Claudia. I may never see
what
you
did
again.
I do?
Get yous all back.
You're, yeah.
I should say that it really was all Claudia's doing.
Yes. Yes. Scamp. Claudia, you will be what we call in the business collateral damage. Friendly fire. Hey, Jimmy, is there, I don't know if you heard the Dixie Chicks story. Is there something I've left out, or are we pretty well covered on that beside the ending?
I didn't hear the whole thing, actually. I was unconscious, but...
Right.
Speaking to Brian, and it really was one of the greatest pranks ever. You told about the sandwich and about the
yes.
panties and the
yes.
and the end. When my favorite part of the story, and I hope you got to this, was when Adam actually got on the phone with Natalie.
We stopped and picked up the phone, ironically, with you right at the point of the story when I picked up the phone with her. Jimmy yelling across the office from behind his desk, you call her now and put an end to this. I was like, oh, okay, boss. Yeah, well, she was with her mother when she was at a pottery barn with her mother.
Let me tell it, because
I
watch and it's indelibly burned into my brain. Adam calls Natalie, and I said, Adam, you got to call her because Adam's girlfriend, Lynn, I was like, this is going to become a problem, and you got to get this cleared up right away. I mean, you really have to. And for some reason, Adam went along with that. And he gets her cell phone number. And yes, that's true. She was at a Pottery Barn with her mom. And Adam calls and he goes, "Hey, it's Adam." And, you know, it was a little bit of chit chat. And he goes, "I just want to thanks for the, thanks again for the flowers and, for the sandwich and, for the,
underpants.
The panties. Yeah. It took you a little while to get to the panties. But, you know, I'm in a, I have a girlfriend and, she's, you know, and then all of a sudden Adam says, "You didn't?" And then Adam looks up at me and Daniel, our friend, and we are almost under the table. We're dying laughing. And Adam, this is a one of the most brilliant transitions I've ever seen. Adam goes, "So, how's the new album coming?"
That's right. That's why I was up for a Marconi last year.
It was clear because you acted as if none of the previous conversation had happened at all.
And it was all, you know, it was, you know, the whole thing couldn't, I mean, Jimmy did a great job pulling the prank, but the pieces couldn't, the stars aligned too, because she never did send the initial bouquet of flowers over to the desk. That was Jimmy. But when I called her to thank her for it, she thought her publicist had sent it and just took credit for it. Yeah, no problem. So every I had been dotted, every T had been crossed. Wow.
But you're a bright guy. An 8-foot sub written in mustard with a message.
6 foot. Yeah, I know. I know. And from Giamello's, too.
Your favorite place.
I know, me announcing. How that just, in my feeble mind, that meant she loved me more. The fact that she would take the time to research my favorite sub joint. From all the way in Nashville. What a
That's
gal.
The thing. We never expected it to go that far. We never expected it to get to the part where you had to make the phone call, because we thought once you got the sandwich with "I Will Not Be Ignored" on it, then you go, "Oh, you guys." But
right. Well, you underestimate how thick I actually am. You know, the thing that's funny, too, and Brusca, you can tell me if you had to go through this yourself. Nobody can wipe away what just happened with one wave of a magic wand. You have to sort of do it incrementally. For me and Natalie from the Dixie Chicks, it was like, "You didn't send the panties? Okay, but you sent the giant chocolate chip. You didn't send... Well, but you sent the sand." I had to do it. I had to ratchet it down to zero. I couldn't wipe it all away.
I still don't even know what's real right now and what's fake. I don't even know
if
Milonakis was in here today.
Am I still dreaming?
All right. All right. Jimmy, thank you very much. Thank you for your diabolical mind.
I have to say, as I was leaving the radio station yesterday, I was so happy, and I really, it's such a childish thing to me. it makes me so happy to do something mean to someone else. I don't know what it is.
You know, it would have been funny, I was just thinking about it, but if you were, let's say, Jimmy Kimmel, imagine you being 11, being stricken with some horrible disease, and going to the people at the Make-A-Wish Foundation. A young 11-year-old Jimmy Kimmel, and it's like, what do you want to do? You want to go to Magic Mountain? Who do you want to meet? Roger Staubach? No, I want you to F with my neighbor. You'd be the only guy to make a Wish Foundation that want him to light doggy do on your neighbor's porch.
It's not too late. It really isn't.
Your final act.
I tell you what, I was not only going to punch Milonakis, I was about to punch Tony, the dump guy, I saw him on the cell phone.
You didn't get suspicious when Damashek over here, Master Thespian Damashek, dropped an extra F-bomb in at the
end. I was worried there wasn't enough. Milonakis was dispatched from the studio. I was
going to have a little talk with Dave after the show. I'm like, "Why would you say that?"
Dave yells, "What the F was that?" to Milonakis as he goes off the air. All right, Jimmy, we need to take a break. God bless you. Thank you for the help.
We're going to hear this, right?
Yes, we will hear it in its entirety. Bill, how are we doing with the bleeps? Did we get those put in?
We got everything except Dave's last bleep.
All right. Well,
so explain the bit so people know what's going on.
April Fools, we pre-recorded what you guys heard, the loop out there. I guess Dave singing and me explaining we're playing a prank on Brusca with some music under it. Brusca obviously didn't hear what was going out over the air because he's here with us in studio. He thinks obviously whatever we're saying is going out over the air. Andy Milonakis comes in, goes nuts with his guitar, starts dropping the F-bombs left and right. Our guy who is on the dump button, on the drop button, is on a mysterious cell phone call with Jack Silver and doesn't dump any of it. Brusca gets his panties in a bunch. Then our buddy Tony Barbieri calls in as the PD from our San Diego affiliate and starts yelling at Brusca on and off the air, by the way. All right, we'll be back to play you what actually happened in studio after this.
Hey, this is Adam Delapena from Minority Team. You're listening to the Mr. Miyagi of radio, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, thank you, mijo.
I dined with Adam Delapena the other day. Show this Minority Team on Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, doing gangbusters.
Yeah,
marvelous stuff.
Fantastic. You know, I also want to give a plug to my good friends over at Drawn Together, the show I do a voice on for Comedy Central, Wednesday nights. I think it's at 10:30. To look that up. Point is, go ahead and watch that show. I'm on it. All right, now, where the hell were we? Yes, producer Brusca. Well, we just pulled a little April Fool's joke on Brusca.
Not fair. Not fair. Not only not fair, not fair. It's not April 1st.
Well,
not fair.
We weren't about to do a show tomorrow, so we figured we'd get it in today. What we did is we had a little pre-recorded loop playing. You all heard that inside the studio. Andy Milonakis was dropping F-bombs left and right. And we have... No, not ready yet. Is that true, Bill?
Yeah, no, it's not ready. It just didn't burn the CD. I got three more minutes.
All right. Dave, would you like to sing the dreidel song?
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
They made it.
Go ahead, Goyim.
All right, let me see.
You got it.
Let me see. Oh, let's see. I had a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I would argue that we don't need the part where when it's dry. You don't say, right. I took an ashtray, I made one out of clay, and when it's dry, we know you'll do it after it's been fired in the kiln, wise ass.
You know what I hated about
that? We know
you're
not going to try to use a wet dreidel.
The worst thing about that song is, or that brings back a bad memory, in third grade, growing up in Pittsburgh, PA, I was the only Jew in class.
Class in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, close. And wait a second. Franco Harris wasn't a Jew? I thought he was. At Christmas time.
Dirk Winston, I believe, was of the Jewish faith.
Jack Lambert, I'm positive, was, I think, even Orthodox.
Yes.
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you. Just got word that Frank, your friend Frank, brought a cake over for the lovely Claudia to welcome her.
Oh. Wow.
Thank you.
That's nice.
And would not do anything, obviously, for Dave Damashek when he started.
Well, after happened to you earlier.
Wow.
I could use a little cake.
She got a card, too, and it's a carrot cake.
All right. Sorry, you were speaking about being a Jew in Pittsburgh
we
in the
would,
40s?
We would do the Christmas carols, you know, mm-hmm. Around the holidays, you know, in music class. Did mm-hmm. everybody do this? You did this for once or twice a week. And the piano teacher, she'd sit there and she'd sing Christmas carols,
right.
Silent Night, so on and so forth. And then she would announce, okay, everybody, we have to sing a song for Dave now. And everybody would go, we got to sing that crappy dreidel song.
And
I was resented.
But I'm an atheist, and I know that song blows. I mean, as opposed to, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town or Deck the Halls or something like that. It's sort of repetitive and crappy.
Who wants to be objectified like that? Oh, we got to stop singing the Christmas carols for the Jew? And I was soundly beaten. That was their excuse for that week.
You know, I have my theory about desserts, which is let the pros handle the desserts. You know, let the French pastry chefs handle the desserts. Let the Germans handle the desserts. Let's have the Asians and the Mexicans and many other cultures stay away from the desserts. We don't need your flan. We have beautiful pastries coming out. You know, I'm just saying, let this group handle. Meanwhile, you guys handle what you do best. I feel the same way with Jews and songs. I don't need any Hanukkahs. I don't need any Hava Nagilas. I don't need any. They're all horrible.
Right. Go make with the blockbuster movies. We'll take care of the, holiday songs.
Go crunch some numbers. We'll focus on the ditties. And I mean that with great love and respect. Thank you.
So, Claudia, what does that card say?
Dreidel. All right. What does
it
say?
Do I read it on the air?
I think you should. Now, we're talking about Frank from Frosty Heidi and Frank, the show that follows our show.
Oh, is that who this
is? And he's obviously had some troubles with Dave, but apparently he...
Dropped a cake off for Claudia. Yeah.
This is the guy we mentioned this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Claudia, I just wanted to take the time and tell you what a wonderful job I think you are doing. Mm-hmm. You are a fresh breath of air to the morning show. And you have bad writing, Frank. And a welcomed member to the Free FM family. Wow. Keep up the good work and don't get discouraged. I'm sure more changes are on the horizon.
Wow. Oh, wow. By the way, Dave's welcoming offering from Frank was the stink eye and a swift knee to the groin. That was the cake you got from Frank.
I like this. He keeps because he brought up the idea that he doesn't approve. Mm-hmm. The local midday guy from the Frosty and the Snowman show doesn't like the cut of my jib. Yes. And so he said that I don't want to get anybody fired. Well, of course, he has the juice to get me fired.
Well, the point is, I think Claudia is doing a great job.
Sure.
And
we're here.
And although I'm a fan of Dave Damashek, I think Frank brings up some very valid points. All right, let's go to break. We will
see you in your office. Close the door.
Do not leave without seeing me, and please close the door when you do. We will have the tape ready. Bill? Gay board op Bill? Pre-op board op Bill?
Yeah, it's actually, I just finished it now.
All right. Well, it's going to take a few minutes to play, and we're running late. So, also, Monique is here. She's got her new Fat Girls movie coming out, and TV show, by the way.
She can't eat my cake, by the way.
No, but I'm going to, we will, and when I say eat your cake, that's a euphemism for something I like to do to the ladies. I call it breaking them in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the tape of the prank, beeps and all, after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big and beautiful Monique will be in here in just a couple of few. But first, we finally worked all the bleeps into all the F-bombs that Andy Milonakis dropped doing the April Fool's joke on producer Bruska. So,
can you explain what happened?
Well, I've done it a few times. I don't want to waste too much more time on it. You guys were hearing a pre-recorded tape. Bruska was in here thinking that what you're about to hear was going out over the air. He has no way of knowing because he's in studio with us, and he just assumes, just the same way whatever I'm saying now is going out over the air. He's just assumes, actually, some of my best stuff, by the way. When the mics turn off, you guys should hear me in the post meeting after the show. Hilarious. Great stuff. Point
kills
is
the interns every
kills
day.
Them. Yeah. Although they know they'll get fired if they don't laugh it up.
True.
Point is he thought what was going on in studio was going on over the air. And in fact, it wasn't. And
in this day and age of FCC violations that range somewhere into the $500,000.
That's right. He would be fired. And also, just as a coincidence would have it, right at the time Milonakis went on his scatological rampage, the guy who hits the dump button in the delay room was fielding a phone call from Jack Silver and could not get to the button. So Bruska freaked out.
And on top of all that, then you had Tony call in as a program director.
That's right. Who was mad at me. San Diego and yell at him. All right, so let's hear what it actually went on in the studio. You.
This is the intro.
You listen to Adam Carolla Show. Call him now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right, 866-901-ADAM. Phenom, Andy Milonakis in studio, the Andy Milonakis Show.
Jesus, do I really
premieres
sound like
tonight,
this?
Second season, this MTV2, 9 o'clock.
I gotta go to addiction coach.
Studio. Andy has brought his sixth string. Andy, you got a song for us?
Treat for
yes,
the kids.
Sir.
Here we go.
Took a ride from Rainbowville to Ponytown. I said, hey, pony. Hey, pony, you're looking kind of weak.
Seems nice
you
enough.
You know what would help you get strong, pony? Suck my dick. Yeah, fuck you.
Whoa,
suck
whoa.
My dick.
Whoa,
get
wait.
That dick. Yeah.
Oh, we can't.
Brunska's now lunging at him.
Andy, seriously.
Suck my
dick. Andy, hey,
who's dumping him?
Hey,
are we
I
on?
Said, yo,
Andy, 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 seriously. I swear to Christ.
He's going
Mike
to Mike at this point.
Bill, are we being, do we dump out on that?
Listen to the sense of urgency.
Bill, did we dump out on that or not?
No, I didn't.
Andy, you need to leave. Bill, what's our... Bill, was that on the air or not? Because I want to know.
Lynn just came in and said that was on the air.
Okay. All right.
That was on the air.
Okay.
That he outlasted our dump.
Okay, so let me just reset real quick. Andy Milonakis in studio. And Andy Milonakis just sort of freaked out. That's Dave.
Dave actually dropped the
okay,
F-bomb.
Let's just, let,
did get
I got
bumped,
the last one.
Dumped out.
You got...
All right. That was, now I'm confused because...
Okay, that was part one.
That was part one.
Yeah, that was part one. Because after that, we went to a break. Or
right.
We sort of said we were going to go to break, so he stopped it and restarted it.
All right, let's hear this. Yeah, part two.
Dave's actual F-bomb didn't get out over the air, did it?
It'd be ironic. If that got us, okay. Fine.
Obviously, Bruska? James Bruska?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is the guy playing the PD in San Diego.
Right. How that was just coming across my station. We were able to jump on it. We got a few of them got through, but we got a guy on the button. I don't know what's happening up in Los Angeles.
Well, we have a guy supposed to hit the dump button. I guess a phone call came through right at the time Milonakis had his meltdown. And like I said, I know the buck stops with our producer, Bruska, but it really wasn't his fault.
I produce morning radio. Even though I wasn't working the button, I was in charge of the button.
The guy's in Silver Lake right now, by the way.
I'm not in charge of the button.
No, you listen to me for 1 second, Jim, okay?
Okay.
We're 2 days into the spring book, and this is what you guys are giving me.
That was good.
Well, I don't think
that's...
What do you want to do?
We have to move on, and we apologize as a show, and we did not obviously have anything to do with
it. Let me talk to Jim for a second. Jim,
I'm going to come on the phone in the back room. We got to move on with the show.
Let's do that.
All right, I don't want
Adam to have to hear all this. I don't want this to get on the air. I would just like to speak to you, Jim, professionally.
Okay, and we're fans of San Diego. We appreciate being on the air.
Big fans of the show, Adam.
All right.
Perfect show.
And so we will remain a part of your program?
I need to speak to Jim for just a moment.
Okay.
This isn't on the air, is it?
Well, this is, yeah, but I'll put you on hold and you can speak to him off the air.
This is on the air.
This is, yes, but I'll put you on hold. You can speak to him off the air. Okay.
Then I went and spoke to him off.
Speaking to Bruska
off the air, and it was lectured by the actor Tony, who's acting like the program director from San Diego.
I know.
Fun stuff, real fun.
Yeah, I saw you through the glass.
Do not have the stuff once we went to the fake commercial. We don't have any of that.
Yeah, we could only get the stuff of Bruska's over the.
Because Adam, you walked out of the room, and then Bruska really unfurled a string F bomb. To me and Lynch himself.
What the F was that guy doing on the phone? What the F is that guy doing? What's F and Jack Silver doing in calling in during the show?
You did deserve it for using the F-bomb while we were on the air, Dave. All right.
I've been had, and I'm sweating.
Yes.
Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
My
underarms are like just drenched.
Just a bad dream.
Completely been had. So very funny stuff. And,
yes.
Don't ever do it again.
We'll
I'll get you all
the
back.
Price. I'm sure. Monique is coming in, and then another tape released from Zacharias Moussaoui. We'll get to that first. Monique, then some news, then some sports. All coming up.
Hi, this is Bob Saget. Call Adam Carolla. He's a really, really good guy. He lets you know him really well. Call him at 1-866-901-ADAM. He likes model planes and hookers.
Wow. Never stops, does he? Spoke to Dave Coulier, actually, yesterday evening. And he had some choice words for Bob Saget. Oh, yeah. It's not all love there in the set of Full House. Monique in studio. Good to see you, Monique.
Hey, baby. It's been a little while.
I would say too long.
Last time I saw you, we were on the sofa together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
Was it good for you?
Where were we?
On the sofa.
Yeah.
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 Real close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, I gotta say, you're big and you're beautiful.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. And I know, you know, here's the thing. Maybe we've spoken about this before. I'm not into the big ladies, but I am into the dark chocolate and the big, the women of color seem to do a little better when they, weigh in just a little bit more. The white chicks get all pink and weird, you know, all saggy. You guys get bosomy, and
we get curvy.
You get curvy.
Yes.
And something happens. You get, like, here's the thing. When a white chick is fat, she's mean as a badger. When a black chick packs on some weight, she gets a great sense of humor.
Because we're full. Some sugar. We're happy.
Why can't white women do that?
Because of the images that they put out there.
Yes.
And they put images out there of white women. It's like, guys, that's not even real. Like when they say cut, she don't even look like that. She's like, right. Well, who the hell was that?
Right.
So they're just trying to hold up to that image. And it's mm-hmm. like, stop it. And here's the thing. You haven't tried a big woman. Once you go fat, you never go back. I promise
really?
You. Yes.
Never, Ace? You've never tried a big woman?
Yes, actually, I did try a big woman once. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Oh, outside of the family. No, but, you know, what happened was, I met a gal many years ago, and she was living out San Diego way. And I met her, maybe I was drunk or something when I met her. I met her over at Barney's Beanery. Or maybe she just did nothing but eat between the time I met her and the time I finally got the gas money together to drive out to San Diego. But some months later, I ended up in San Diego at her door. And when she opened that door, I was like, holy Christ.
She looked different.
Yeah. I've been corresponding with Sasquatch over the phone for
See,
the last...
See, what has to happen is you can't meet a girl at a size 6 mm-hmm. and then go back and she's a 16. That's a shock.
Right.
You got to meet her at a 16. Mm-hmm. So when you go back and she's an 18, you're not thrown off too
far. That's
See,
what I should have done.
See, I can understand a 6 to a 16 because the hole ain't the same.
The what is it?
The hole.
The sum of the hole?
The hole ain't
the
same.
Oh, the hole. Okay.
The hole ain't the same, baby.
All right. No. Yeah, no, I understand.
I got to get you a fat guy.
I thought you said something else, and no. I was going to say that's the only thing that doesn't change. Insight? Something I don't know?
You need to get you with a proper fat gal. I
really?
Promise you.
All right.
You'll come back on the air and say never again.
Really? Now, Monique, ever date. Mm-hmm. You like a slender fella, though.
You know what? I've dated fat guys.
Oh, you have?
It's mm-hmm. just, you know, more work. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all be breathing real hard.
Yeah, I know.
It's just, you know, but yeah. But my guy now is a slender guy.
He is?
Yeah.
And is he a man of color as well?
Yes, he is a man of color.
And is it true, do you think, that sort of urban myth, or is it more than an urban myth, that the brothers like a little extra cushion?
Yeah, I believe that every man wants some meat on his bone. Nobody wants a bone. Like, and I've talked to guys, and I said, you know what? Who would you rather lay next to?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's fluffy and tender, mm-hmm. or something that's hard and stiff?
Right.
Like, would you rather lay next to somebody that feels just like you or something that feels just like me?
Right. Well, the hairy and smelly is me, so I'm going with you. And no,
thank you, sir.
I don't ironically want to be with myself, although for the amount of times I physically have been with myself, it wouldn't hold up in court very long. Yeah. Monique has herself a movie, I know, because I've been passing every billboard in town with her on it, Fat Girls, which is coming out April 7th.
Yes.
Tell us about the movie.
You know what? It is the true story of every fat girl in America.
Mm-hmm.
Just the trials and the pain and the struggles that we try to overcome because we live in such a society that mm-hmm. says the word fat is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just tired of that. And we have a good time with it. And it's a funny, comedic love story.
Well, let me tell you my theory as it pertains to the heavy set folks of the world. We would make fun of, and traditionally, I believe all human beings want to sort of make fun of anyone who's different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a joke about another ethnicity. Everybody has a joke about another religion. Everyone has a joke. But over the past few years, we have decided as a society that that's just unacceptable. You can't make a joke based on a guy's race or his religion or his creed. The one thing that has remained is fat.
Is that right?
We're still allowed to make fun of fat people, and I will say that all the energy that used to be
directed toward the Polacks.
Goes to the fat people.
Slid over to the fat side of the ledger.
But you know what? Here's the thing, and I tell people fat is no longer a bad word because it means fabulous and thick. Mm-hmm. Full and tasty, fluffy and tender.
Oh, see, that kind of fat.
It is no longer a bad... You better do it, fat boy. That's right, baby. That's right. Eat your donuts. Because, you know, for so long we've been begging, please let us in. Please let us play. Please accept us. Now we're saying, the hell with you. We're not begging you no more. We like our fat toys. And if you want to come play with us, come on. If not, stay over there.
And the difference between fat and pH fat is what?
PHAT is pretty hot and thick. Mm. FAT is fabulous and thick.
Yeah.
That's all.
I got to say, I would like to be made an honorary black because of my spelling. I am so bad that I should be brought into the tribe. I really mean it.
So, you understand? Black people spell, spell good?
Here's what I'm... No. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying.
Let me know, because I'm trying to figure this one out, Adam. Wait a minute, sugar. Let me open up my
water.
All
right. I'm going to...
Take a sip.
I hope this is taken in the spirit in which it's meant. You are a heavy set woman, and instead of fad diets and apologies, you've turned it into an empire.
Well, who do I owe an apology to?
That's my point.
Exactly.
You've cashed. You're laughing all the way to the bank, right?
All the way.
Now, the Jews over here. That's Dave Damashek. Don't hate him because he's Jewish. They're good spellers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The goyim like myself and the brother man, traditionally not as good a speller. Now, while I'm apologizing for my bad spelling, you guys have just started your own dictionary, and you're laughing all the way to the bank. You see what I'm saying? You took
right,
lemons, and you made lemonade out of it. I'm just a white guy who can't spell. You guys make up a new word every day. No one says anything.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I spell there the wrong way.
With me, Adam?
Yes.
See, we've always had our own language.
Oh,
always.
Really?
It's nothing new. But what happened was, when we came here, then you put your language on us and said, oh, well, now this is the right language.
Uh-oh.
So we've always had our own language.
Here,
it's not that we're bad spellers, baby.
Right.
We've always had our own language.
So
I can't take that one. I can't let you get that to the brothers.
In Africa, that's the way you guys spell fat.
Try going over there and spell it.
Really?
Yes,
that's
baby.
That's fat.
Try going over there. And try spelling it. Say something, brother.
He's not black. He just looks black. Jerron, how say you?
I say she's absolutely correct.
What the hell?
Dog.
Sounds like Ned Flanders.
Jerron, you're going to leave with me, baby. You're going to leave with me today.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to Africa with my fat, with my FUBU jacket. I'll see what kind of work I can get done. All right, we would like to help Jerron over here. As you can tell, he's technically black, but I don't know if he has the soul of a brother.
He's a cutie.
He's good looking.
He's our intern, and we want to diversify our staff, but we got the black guy who actually acts white.
Yeah, and when he answers, and here's the problem with that, I got to be honest. When he picks up the phone, he just sounds like another white guy, and we get no credit. You know what I'm saying?
For
diversity.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Well, if we would have paid attention to the details, like today, Jerron is the first and only black man ever to wear flip-flops.
Yeah, I was supposed to say, never actually
what?
Seen that.
What I don't
gives?
Know where this show has been. Where have you guys been?
Well,
like y'all putting out misinformation.
You guys have flip flops.
We have flip flops. We invented flip flops, baby. We from Africa. We started flip flops. Y'all steal every damn thing. That's why they don't know about your flip flops. Come on with it now.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we stole rock and roll and flip flops.
What?
That's what I'm saying. We stole rock and flip flops. Yeah.
Stole it. Thievery. That's, trickery.
That's
crookery.
What I'm saying. Well, yeah. I want to make amends. And the way I'd like to do that is by giving your movie a plug. Fat Girls,
thank you,
coming out April 7th. Sure, sweetie pie. Now, Jerron is over here. And again, Jerron could use a little injection of soul. So perhaps you could walk him through it just a little bit.
Jerron, what do you need, sugar?
I don't need no soul. I watch Apollo.
Yes. So
I can do electric slide now, too.
There you
really?
Go, baby.
Because of you, yeah.
There you go, baby.
Let's see. Kick off a flip-flop and let's see a little.
Oh, no. See, I broke my toe.
All right.
See, yeah.
Help him out.
But, Jerron, how would you answer the phone?
Right.
In other words, if someone called for the show, and how would you pick up the phone?
Hello. Adam Carolla.
Nice. Yeah, that's not going to cut it, though.
How do y'all think you should answer the phone?
You tell us.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Oh, really?
Right. He got that down, baby. Yeah.
All right, and then what? Well, I'll play the phone. I'll play the person. Now, listen, Jaron.
Yes.
You no hamming it up.
Okay.
You got to play it like you would normally play it. All right. And then we'll let Monique straighten you out a little bit.
Do you, Jaron? Do you? Now, your mother and your grandmother's listening.
Oh yeah, my mama likes you too.
I love your mother.
All right. Bring.
Hello, Adam Carolla Show. Can I help you?
Well, let it ring twice. Oh. I don't want people to think we're desperate. You know what I mean?
Let it ring one time.
Let it ring two times and then pick it up. How many times I got to tell you interns about that? It's like we're not getting any phone calls. You pick it up on the first ring. Bring.
Hello, Adam Carolla Show. Can I help you, please?
Hi, this is Dick Nibbler. I'd like to...
Hello, Dick Nibbler. How are you?
I would like to speak to the producer over there, if I may.
Which producer would you like to speak to?
I would like to speak to whoever the producer is. I don't have his name here. James Bruska?
Oh, Bruska. Okay, well, actually, he is unavailable at the moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
May I please take a message?
Yes, you may. Tell him. Okay, so that's how he does it now. And again, we get no street cred with that at all. We'd like him to...
give him a little street cred. So when he picks up the phone, you know, people know that we have...
Know what I'm saying?
Maybe you should say, hi, this is Jaron. I'm the black guy on the Adam Carolla Show. Then they'll get that street credit, baby. Then they'll get it. So every time you answer, this is Jaron, the black guy on the Adam Carolla Show.
The only black guy.
Yes, right. The only black guy on the Adam Carolla show ever.
Let's try that and see if it works. See if I can be convincing. Bring... Aren't you going to pick the goddamn phone up, Jaron?
No, you told me to ring. You told me to ring.
Now, come on, Adam. Okay. Come on now.
I was just testing him.
Just testing you.
Bring.
Hello, Adam Carolla Show. Jaron speaking. The only black guy ever in the history of the Adam Carolla Show to ever be employed by him.
Okay.
Can I help you?
I don't want to sound like a Klansman, Jaron, with the ever in the history. Just say the black guy.
Ever. Keep that.
Just say the black guy from the Adam Carolla Show.
Career.
The history. Come on. How far back do we go back to January of 06, for Christ's sake?
Way back.
All right, Jaron. Go heat me up some coffee or something, would you please? And get rid
of
those flip-flops.
That's what interns do, baby. That's what interns do.
Get rid of the flip-flops and get some, like, two-tone alligator shoes, would you please?
Some FUBUs, okay.
Yes, get some. Does FUBU make shoe-boos now?
FUBU make... I don't know. Who's your producer? They need to do their homework. Do FUBU make shoe-boos?
That's part of my thing. I if I find one member of one race, I decide they're spokespeople for the entire race, and I start asking, what's up with Al Sharpton? And does FUBU coming out with a new
line? Al Sharpton is going to be president. I promise you. He's going to be the first black president to run this country.
I will hang out for the first 6 months just because it's going to be great, and then I'm going to Canada.
I'm going to tell you something. He can do no more than the other guys have done.
Well, that's true.
So the thing is, you need to mix it up a little bit. Get somebody else up in there. Let the White House be the black house for a change.
Yeah, I'd vote.
Let's see what could jump off.
I would vote for Sharpton just like... I don't know. It's a goof. I think it would be fun.
That's how Schwarzenegger got in.
I think that's why Bush keeps getting in office, because we did it as a goof.
I know that's how Schwarzenegger got in there. Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I think people... Well, look, I'll tell you what. When I was in high school, there was a kid named Richard Kim who barely spoke any English, and he just smiled, and he was a funny guy. And he couldn't speak, and nobody knew who he was. He, for some reason, ran for student body president, and we all voted him in as a goof. Richard Kim for president.
So now we understand how Bush keeps getting in there. It's a goof. We're playing. Y'all stop playing at the polls. Stop playing.
And I approve this message.
Well, you get Jesse. You get Jesse Ventura. You get Schwarzenegger. We'll get Sharpton running the country. It'll be fun. It'll be like a novelty country.
One big party, baby.
We'll say, Monique for Secretary of State.
Yes.
That's what I say.
Yes, but see, I couldn't go over there. Condoleezza Rice is a brave sister. She goes over and visits the troops.
Black people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get the video camera ready. I'm going to tell you a message over there.
Yeah.
I'm not going because they're fighting.
Yourself. Right.
Mm-mm.
Monique in studio. Monique, can you hang out with us when we do the news and the sports? You chime in, you hang in.
Sure, baby.
Thanks, baby doll. Monique in studio. Fat Girls coming out on the 7th. That is a week from today.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
This is James Lifestyle Tony, the heavyweight champion of the world. I'm looking for Adam Carolla. I need him for a sparring partner, because he's been talking a lot of junk about me lately. So you know what? All you out there, listen to Adam Carolla.
Yeah. James Lights Out Tony. Monique in studio. Fat Girls. With a PH and a Z. Fat Girls in theaters 1 week from today. Also, Monique's a Fat Chance. You guys feeling the theme here?
Sure. Well, Monique, I have a question for you. What's with the big bodyguard?
Well, you know what? He just goes with me everywhere I go. Because it's not that anybody tries to hurt me, but sometimes people just get a little, little touchy, grabby.
He's 5'0"? Because he's got the giant badge. Like, yeah, he's about to bust through a door for it. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is.
Inspector Alan Holly.
He's scary. Is he on the squad?
Or is don't you ask him?
Well, I'm scared, but I like that. I like the guy who wears his tin on the outside.
Yeah, baby, just to let you know.
Although it does, I wouldn't do that because the only reason I would ever become a cop would be to flash the tin. That's why it would be, you know when they go, and who says you can, this says, you know, and I flip it open and a condom falls out.
Right.
Oh, sorry, let me get that. Wow, tin. This is embarrassing. Where is my bag?
This says so. Well, wait, that's a condom, sugar. And that's a little condom. You don't have a right to say nothing.
Yeah.
He's not smiling. He's serious.
Yeah, no. Believe me, he does not need the badge on the outside to intimidate.
He's got the game face on. I'll tell you what, though. Just to make sure he's earning his money, Dave, test him in the parking lot after the show.
I would love for you to. It will be the Adam Carolla minus.
Yes.
The Jew guy. Minus.
You put this bag on your head.
Uh-oh, he's walking towards me now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we're all right.
He's got his cell phone. He's using a cell phone, which is we've learned from the models.
I got no beef with
you. All right.
I love his bling.
Say hello.
Yes.
You know it wouldn't be personal. It would happen, but it wouldn't be personal.
That's right. Oh,
right.
Yeah, it'd be like if a gator dismembered you. It's not the alligator's not mad at you.
Right.
It's just what he does.
You were just there.
You're just there. You smelled like chicken.
Now, the one thing I wouldn't mind if you would do while you're here, could you go to the next studio? There's this show that comes on after ours, Falcon and the Snowman. And if you could go rub out one of the hosts of that show, that'd be terrific. Thank you.
No, you can't call hits out. And what does how does it work? Because actually, Britney Spears, I read this morning, was just getting into trouble with her help because she wasn't paying OT, didn't pay any overtime to her bodyguard, and now they're suing her for like $25,000.
Wow.
How does it work? Are you on? Is it an hourly? Don't give me that look like you're going to kill me. I'm just asking questions.
I take very good care of my team.
Right. I very well.
You do?
Yeah.
Can I say something? Look at his watch and look at our watches. Let's
see the watch.
He's well paid.
Wow.
Look at that.
His name's Holly, like a girl.
Look at that.
It's like he stole it from
Holly the girl.
Monique, I want to work for you.
Come on.
It's like
Come
he
on.
Stole it from the Liberace Museum.
Wow.
Look at that thing.
He's blinged out.
Holy Christ. All right. Well, protect us while we begin with the news. Hey, you ready to go there, Claudia?
I can't see my script because of that bling.
Claudia
we'll
DeFalco,
try.
Now with her news.
A strong earthquake has hit a remote part of western Iran, killing over 60 people and devastating villages. Over 800 people were also injured. American reporter Jill Carroll was released yesterday in Iraq after 3 months in captivity. Here she is talking to NBC News.
All I can say right now is that I'm just happy to be free. I was treated very well. It's important people know that I was not harmed. They never said they would hit me, never threatened me in any way. And I'm just happy to be free and want to be with my family.
Monique, you would not be that gracious if you were held in captivity by a terrorist for 3 months, would you?
No.
You'd be calling in an airstrike, right?
Baby, listen. They'd have done me a long time ago because that was very gracious. She was very gracious. She was very kind.
You would have told your bodyguard to get in there and make
See, they'd never
make
got
the
me
ass
over
kicking.
There. They'd have
yes.
never got, like,
Right,
Listen,
that's not why
a vacation spot.
That's why if you take Condi's place, everything's going to be delivered via video.
Via video.
That's right.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Right.
I'm coming to you from the bunker once again. All right.
Hitting theaters today, Basic Instinct 2, starring Sharon Stone. Here she is talking about what else? Her naked body.
People just are sitting there going like, I don't care what she's saying. I don't care what she's saying. I just want to know, is she naked? Does she get naked in that movie? Is she naked? Nude, 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 naked. Do I see her boobies? I don't care what she's saying. I don't care. I don't care. Is she naked? So let's just get through to that. Yes!
Oh, If I see a gray pube, I'm going to heave. That's all I'm saying. Please tell me.
Also, gray or great?
Please tell me you combed a little just for men through there before. And that literally would be just for men.
And coming to theaters soon, Bodyguard 2, starring Monique and Holly.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Super size.
Yes.
I love it, baby.
Co-workers who became lovers.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so. The Associated Press is reporting hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons and wife Kimora have split up.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Say it ain't so.
It is so.
No. No, indeed.
Wait a minute. His wife is the one who's of Asian descent, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No.
Yeah, well, you know, I was watching, I followed them a little bit, and he, every day, well, first off, he lives in a 700,000 square foot house somewhere in, like, New Jersey. I mean, his house makes Aaron Spelling's house look like a gardening shed. And every morning, he wakes up, heads to the Buddhist meditation temple and sits down and does a num yo ho for 2 hours while she goes out and buys shoes, essentially. You know what I mean? So they are on polar ends of the earth. She's
like,
out
that's
shoe
the perfect
shopping.
Marriage. Like, that is the perfect marriage.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think he is not into the worldly possessions and she's into nothing but the bling. And I think eventually that's what caught up to them.
My prayers go out to him.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig them. They was a hot couple.
Yeah, but now he's single.
But
I'm not.
Look
at it that way. Well, you never know. The day is young.
Monique's got
and
her hands full with Detective Holly.
He's got fat farm.
Yeah, so you
perfect.
Know.
She's got baby fat.
You
she's
could sue
baby
him
fat.
For intellectual property. Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, it was just a matter of time for this one. Once again, supermodel Naomi Campbell. That skinny bitch was charged with second-degree assault for throwing her cell phone at an employee. This time, her housekeeper, she got 4 staples on the back of her head to close the wound.
Wow.
Campbell was released and allowed to keep her passport. Why do you think, Monique?
Why do I think she hit the housekeeper?
No,
why does she keep her passport?
Yeah. Because you and I wouldn't be allowed.
Right. I'm not sure. But I think Naomi Campbell needs a good ass whipping. Like, that would stop her from fighting up on these people
all
the time.
Maybe this guy will do it. She needs her passport because she's traveling to South Africa next month to visit Nelson Mandela. So, Nelson, give it to her.
Naomi, stop fighting on the people, sugar. Stop that. That's not kind.
Monique.
Then you hit her in the back of the head, so you snuck her.
Yeah.
Snuck her. Now, if you're going to fight somebody, get her face to face. You snuck her, Naomi.
I got to say this in Naomi's favor because I've gotten into a few run-ins with my housekeeper, and it can be frustrating sometimes when, I specifically tell them, leave the sponge with the Brillo side up, and they mock me. And I'm sorry, but it is an attack when I come down to the kitchen and I find the sponge side up. And if that doesn't mean I can't use my hands once in a while because people clearly are ignoring their employer, well, then so be it.
Did you fight?
Well, I've found when people don't listen, sometimes you have to let your hands do the talking. Yeah. And now what?
And that time has come for Detective Holly and myself.
That's right.
20 minutes from now in the parking lot.
She's learned her lesson, and the sponge is not getting left that way anymore.
I'm Claudia DeFalco, and I'm done.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
My comments will be brief because Detective Holly is really giving me the stink eye. Oh, Jesus.
Wow. He's carrying cuffs.
Oh, no. Believe me, I don't think you need any weapons to take me out.
Just for you.
Wow.
I think we could tie one of your arms behind your back and you would still thrash me. All right. The big story, of course, Final Four time is here. Tomorrow, the big games, LSU and UCLA, Florida and George Mason, all of Southern California on cloud 9 to see UCLA if they can get that 12th national championship. And now, my picks.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA getting 2.5 points against LSU will cover and move on to the final game where they will play the Florida Gators. However, I say take George Mason, the Cinderella of the tournament, plus the 6.
Mm-hmm.
George Mason, plus 6. UCLA, plus 2.5. And I
My word should be heeded.
Yes.
Because, as you know, I chose the Steelers to win the Super Bowl at the outset of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I have a long history of making predictions. I'm sure you remember this when we were on the air about 15, 20 years ago.
It's 1989. Man, Alf was awesome last night, wasn't it? Anywho, I bet you in the Stanley Cup, the Calgary Flames will win the cup over the Montreal Canadiens.
It's a young Dave Damage.
Yeah, I was right. And then you remember mid-20th century.
Ooh.
I think...
Hey, it's 1957. Sorry I'm late. My Edsel broke down. Anyway, are we making picks on the fight this weekend? Okay, I'll tell you this much. I bet you Sugar Ray Robinson's going to lose to Carmen Basilio.
That was a bold prediction, but ultimately correct.
It was a heavy favorite, too.
And then you remember that terrible day back when the Titanic went down.
It's 1912. Yeah, if I seem a little bummed out, I'm still kind of low about that whole thing with the Titanic. Not just the boat sinking, but also Leonardo DiCaprio stealing my old lady. Mm. I'm still kind of low.
Well,
but anyway, you know what's going to boost my spirits is when William Howard Taft wins the presidency over Teddy Roosevelt. I bet you that happens.
And this one goes way, way back.
We're going to go further back.
Kudos to the research department. I didn't even know that we had tape on this, but listen to this.
It's the year 33, and hear me now, believe me later. That Jesus Christ may be down after that whole crucifixion thing, but wow. I guarantee you have not seen the last of him.
So that Jan Hammer thing.
Yeah, you thought when you heard it with the Miami Vice thing, that was an original. No.
It was a remake.
It just goes to show all
the way back
recycled.
To biblical times.
That's right.
They had no idea they even had synthesizers back then.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Well, I want to thank Monique for coming in.
I thank you, my babies, for having me.
Thank you, sweetie pea.
Always good to see you.
Always great to see you.
Next time, let's get back on the sofa.
I can't wait.
I can't either.
You know what? Let's make it a love seat.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should. I think you'll change your mind.
I think we're both big enough to turn any sofa into a love seat.
Any sofa.
Yeah. You know what we'll do, too? We'll get on one of those really nice ones where the arms are about 3 feet wide, but there's only about 2 feet of ass room.
Yeah.
I don't know whoever designed
it. So only one ass can sit in it.
A lot of those 70s sofas my friends had. The sofa was 22 feet long, but there was only 30 inches of ass room. Somebody decided in 1974 we needed barrel-size arms. arms on every sofa were 27 feet in circumference, but yet the only room for one ass.
They didn't make them for fat people.
No, they
did
not.
See what I'm saying? See how they do it?
No, but you know what you could do? You could lounge on the arm. Now you can't. You'll walk with a limp. You try lounging on today's sofa arm, but back then, you try to hop on today's sofa arm, it'll go in you. Back then, you just rest on it.
Whole I don't want that to go people. In.
Yeah, no, you don't want that.
So April 7th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Opening weekend.
That's right. Opening
Come
weekend.
Come on back, Adam.
Come
opening
on
weekend,
down. Fat girls. That's right. 1 week from today. God bless you. And also Monique's Fat Chance, July 15th on Oxygen.
Yes.
All right, baby doll. We'll
Thank
see you
sugar.
Soon. We'll be right back with another disturbing message from Zacharias Moussaoui after this.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst from Survivor. If you have something interesting to say, call the Adam Carolla Show now at 1-866-901-ADAM. Otherwise, just listen.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Let's hurry now. Moussaoui, Zacharias Moussaoui, the terrorist, the 20th 9/11 terrorist, as they call him, was going to fly a building into a plane hanger. That's what I'm going to do. Dyslexic terrorist. Flew a commercial office building into a DC-10. Very sad. He was going to fly himself a plane commercial aircraft into the White House with the shoe bomber. So he says on the stand, everything was going good for him during his trial until he decided to open his fat trap and sink his entire case.
Shocked even his attorneys. They didn't expect him to.
Yes, right. And shocked America when we found out what this dastardly guy had planned for us. But you know what? He kept going. And we have the tape. And if you think you're offended by what he wanted to do to the White House with the plane, well, you listen and your ire will be raised, whatever that is. I hope it's not a penis. All right. Let's hear it.
I was going to kidnap Senator John McCain, lock him in a bamboo cage and shout, diddy mao, until he cried and peed himself.
Hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
I was going to illegally download copies of the new Neil Diamond album. Hmm.
Well, that's it. Yeah,
hey, it's a crime.
It is a crime.
Missouri and forced Yakov Smirnov to publicly perform oral on Andy Williams.
Oh, no.
Grand Ole Opry.
No!
That's also a crime.
Oh. So let me get this straight. He was going to go to Branson, Missouri and get Yakov to perform oral on the beloved Andy Williams in public. Wow. Thank God.
At the Grand Old Opry.
Thank God we apprehended this guy. Can you imagine this going out on all the cable channels?
Well, he's essentially hung himself with that.
Yeah, he really did. Oh, thank goodness that's all he had. Wait, there's more.
I was going to go to the Smithsonian and steal the original Wright Brothers plane and fly it into the tomb of the unknown soldier.
Wow.
I was going to dig up the remains.
Not sure. Hold on. That plane was just made of wood and canvas. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much damage he would have done against the granite tomb, but still. I say, at least in his heart,
right.
His heart is black.
Yeah, he's just spitballing that.
Yeah, he's obviously running out of stuff here.
The tomb of the unknown soldier. I was going to dig up the remains of Francis Scott Key, grind up his bones, and snort the dust with Courtney Love.
Wow!
I will go to Disneyland, shave the country bears from the country bear jamboree, and then glue sex toys to their genital area.
Oh, no. Imagine the looks on the children's faces. Oh, playing a jug with a strap on.
We got to fry this guy.
Yeah, this is, I've heard enough. I've heard enough.
I wish to go to your Yankee Stadium and run across the field naked with a giant erection.
Well, it can't be more.
Force with what? Houston. To sing the national anthem. Not the old Whitney, the new cracked out Whitney.
Oh, no.
He's done his homework.
I will steal a bucket of water from the reflecting pool of the Lincoln Memorial and the panties of Kelly Clarkson and make a soup and then feed it to your homeless.
Nah. You know what?
They'd like that.
I have heard enough.
I was planning to kidnap the elephants from the Ringling Brothers Circus, make them have sex into buckets, and then pour the buckets into Old Faithful.
He is creative. You gotta give him that.
I don't care. If you love this country like I do, you'll refuse to sit still and listen to any more of this. Oh, thank God. Thank mercifully it's ended. All right. Well, damn. Out of time. Claudia DeFalco. Nice
what a
job.
Woman.
Thank you.
You did a wonderful job all week long.
I had a fun time with you guys.
Wow. They say a new broom sweeps clean. I guess they were right. Nice job, baby doll.
Oh, I don't sweep.
Oh, really? Do you do my windows? Claudia, nice job. I don't know when we'll see you again, but I hope it's soon. I want to thank Monique. Fat Girls, coming out April 7th. Andy Milonakis. Season 2 starts tonight, 9 o'clock, MTV2. Find out what everyone's talking about. Tony Barbieri as the program director from the San Diego affiliate. And again, Claudia, God bless you. Nice work.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.